It's a Pro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day. Broadcast insolence.
Happy hump day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's also National Relaxation Day.
I'm feeling a little...
Are you?
I'm feeling like I need to be a little relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not 100% relaxed.
You need a lemon lavender towel.
I do need a lemon lavender towel.
That sounds perfect.
What is that?
I make them now at my house, but I got that from yoga. A cool lemon lavender towel.
You make them now at your house?
Yes, I do.
You sew them?
How much are you selling them for on the street?
No, I roll them. It's just the little face towels. You put some cold water and a couple drops of lemon and lavender oil.
Lavender's big these days. Everybody's talking about lavender.
Well, it's relaxing. That's one of the things about it.
And what do we do with it once you've rolled it?
You roll it up, fill the water up like a little container with the towels, then you put them in the fridge. I like them in the freezer because I like them extra cold. But
aren't they just crunchy then? Aren't they like... frosty crunchy?
They melt in like a second.
Can you bring some in for us and we can do some self some team relaxation on the radio?
Some exercises.
Every time we have ever tried to relax with Violetta, it has been a total disaster.
When
do we relax?
When does relaxing start? I can't work this.
So what's funny though is they only do that in the suburbs, yoga. In the city, apparently they can't afford towels or water.
I know, because the city's so poor. Mm-hmm. I've just noticed. Especially, like, I'm sure wherever you're going for yoga, I'm sure it's basically like a third world country.
Yeah, the first time I showed up, I'm like, I opened one eye during the relaxation period. I'm like, where's my lemon lavender towel?
That would be addictive. I could see that. I'd go there all the time.
You know, Entitled White Girl? Remember her? From a couple days ago?
Sure.
One who was a thoroughbred? The one that was too pretty to be arrested?
The clean, thoroughbred white girl.
The ultra-white neighborhood in the suburbs?
Yeah, but you go through a process through this yoga, and you expect the same procedures.
Okay, we're done with that. We actually have this woman in the news again.
She's back in the news. And another self-inflicted wound. She is, there's video of her getting into a vehicle and driving off even though she has a suspended license. That's a problem. And she was smoking a joint prior to getting into said vehicle.
Oh, that does not sound pure.
Or thoroughbred.
Yeah. This is the girl who was arrested a couple weeks ago. In, I don't know, where's in Lilywhiteville?
Where was it? South Carolina, I believe.
Yes, okay, that'd be about right.
Bluffton, South Carolina.
Bluffton, right?
She seems more like an edible weed type girl rather than an actual joint.
She had, there's a joint, there's video of it, and she's sort of puts it out right before she gets in the car on the pavement.
Of course, yeah.
Steps on in there.
With her heels? With her Louboutins?
She looked more on workout gear.
Going to pick up some ecstasy. We're going to the club, girls, I'm out!
Hold on, let's see. Can we play the full, the back seat from her? This is one of my favorite moments of the year so far, where she was telling arresting officers after they picked her up for drunk driving that she was too pretty and white and a thoroughbred and perfect and always did everything right in her life, and this can't happen.
I was a former student. She's an American high school student. I'm an All-American cheerleader. I mean, this is the best beat my whole life. I miss a beat. You pulled me over for driving too fast. I mean, you ruined my whole career. Please, I've never been arrested. I've never been in jail. Please, I don't want to know what it's like. I don't want to know what it's like. I'm a pretty girl. Please, don't make me go in there.
Oh, boy. She had a blood alcohol level twice the legal limit. And also, they also found marijuana and rolling
I don't
papers.
Think you can tell, because that's probably how she sounds normally.
Yeah, I'd love to do a post in her.
We don't have the white, where she's the white thoroughbred, though. That's a good, is that in there somewhere? Although it's kind of, she's a little hard to understand, but at some point she does say that. I'm a white girl. I'm
pretty.
Thoroughbred. Thoroughbred. Okay.
She only had 2 glasses of wine. That's what she told the arresting officer.
Yes.
And then he asked how full the glasses were.
Yes, and goblets. I think that's what we're looking for there.
Okay. Yeah, but not allowed to drive with a suspended license.
And also probably not while you're stoned. Well, I wasn't drinking.
No, just 2 glasses. It was my birthday.
Imagine how annoying she is when she's stoned. Now we know how annoying she is when she's drunk and we barely understand her. But when she's stoned, she's probably articulating better and just as bad.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a piece of work. I wonder if she'll be somebody who goes on that that interview set afterwards. You know, and sits down and she'll be on a reality TV show.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, to try to launch the Big Brother thing.
Yeah.
Did you see Stormy Daniels is on Big Brother? She got nearly $1 million, one of the highest contracts ever.
Did they give her a sock for her bedroom door?
Ew. Can she just go away? Like, this is the one thing I think I'm on Donald Trump's side about. The people, just can she just go away?
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
She's going the way of Donald Trump on a reality show, so.
Yeah.
What's he complaining about?
I gotta say that I don't think. I think all bad things have come from her. Michael Avenatti wants to be president of the United States. She's on a reality show. I don't understand what, you know, exactly what it is that we're proving here, other than, Donald Trump lied about having sex with a porn star. I'm shocked, and it doesn't matter. The thing is that the people who love Donald Trump already love him. They don't care. The ones who believe he had sex with him, the ones that don't, they don't care. Either way, it doesn't matter. They believe that, you know, these are, you know, lying people,
right?
Or that of course he had sex with a porn star because he's Donald Trump. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
The real story today that is, I think, disconcerting to the world is that he pulled the security clearance of the former CIA director because the guy publicly criticized him. So
Brennan, yeah.
Which is kind of okay, ultimately, because the current CIA is probably not reading him in on important things at the moment. But these guys maintain a security clearance in case you've got to call them because they have relationships with either former intelligence officials or former heads of state from around the world, and they can be very, very helpful in a moment like this. You can reinstate that if you had to.
Yeah, you could. And he's looking at several other people as well.
Yeah, all people who've criticized him.
Yeah.
Including our friend Michael Hayden. All these guys have been on our show. I'm surprised my security clearance hasn't been pulled.
You have one?
No. But I would like him to pull it anyway. I would like to join that esteemed group of people who've had their security clearance pulled. All right. We've got let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, as you were just talking about, President Trump has revoked the security clearance of one of his fiercest critics.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with this. Violetta. Rocco with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Lourdes Duarte from the WGN TV is standing by at Bradley Place.
Hi, guys. It's so nice to hear your voice for a change instead of Ben's.
It's nice to hear your voice instead of Ben's, even though we love Ben.
This is such a beautiful treat. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a lot better.
Look, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, I know. She's fishing. All right, let's talk about, this is very interesting because you have a follow-up to the story that we talked about, it was like 2 months ago now, right?
That's correct, yeah. So this was a story about Alex Daniel, and you remember that this was a guy who had been sitting at the Cook County Jail for 10 and a half years, no conviction, no trial, just basically sitting there waiting for a trial to happen. The trial has happened. He's now been convicted just last week. And we started looking into, hey, if this guy's been waiting 10 and a half years, how many other inmates have been waiting for years for a trial to get started? So I FOIA'd some of the numbers, and I got back 102 inmates who have been waiting more than 5 years for their trial to begin. 102 inmates. So I'm going to do the math for you. They've served a total of 515 years, again, without a conviction or a trial. And the county has spent $26 million to house these guys during this time. So that's taxpayer dollars that's going to house these guys until their trials, you know, hopefully happen. In the last few months, it seems like they're moving some of these cases along. But when we talk about Hydea Pendleton, which is the case that we're all watching right now, those two guys who were arrested 2 weeks after her murder had been waiting 5.5 years for a trial. It took 5.5 years for them for jury selection to begin and for this trial to get started.
I thought of you when I read that in the story yesterday because I thought, well, this is exactly what what you've been exposing, and you mentioned the expense related to it. That's a concern, but there's also a justice issue. I mean, not everyone who's behind, who's arrested, actually has done the crime. And if you're waiting that long, it seems like that's a lapse in our system. If there's a problem with that, but mostly tell us why though that it is happening.
And
Laura,
first, I want to say what an excellent point that is, because yeah, you talk about the inmates who are there waiting for justice, but think about the victims of some of these murder families, some of these families that are waiting for justice and some closure in these cases. This is just as difficult for them too, if they're having to wait 5-10 years for something to happen in these cases. So there's a couple of reasons why this is happening. One, which is the most obvious one, a lot of times these inmates will sort of delay the process, thinking that they can avoid going to a state prison, thinking that the more time that goes by, witnesses aren't going to be around, the evidence may be old, and they might have a better chance of getting out, right? Mm-hmm. The second reason, you've got a system that is completely backlogged. They've got so many cases going on right now that it's just hard to keep up. So inevitably, some of them are going to fall through the cracks. And then the third reason in all of this is that sometimes a lot of evidence, it takes time to get back some conclusive evidence in these cases. So the prosecutors or the public defenders will wait and hold off a certain amount of time, hoping that some of this evidence will come back and then they can use it in court. So it seems like there's a lot of moving parts in all of this, but it's just to think, mm-hmm. 102 inmates just in the last few months have been waiting there for years and years and years. And a lot of these are murder cases that, you know, have been in the news oftentimes. I think there was one from 2011 where the two inmates were accused of, I believe it was like beating someone with a cell phone and killing that person. So these are very well-known, publicized cases. Hydea Pendleton, obviously. The bigger one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that cell phone case, that was, I think, in Bucktown or something, mm-hmm. right? Wasn't
that?
Yeah,
it was a while ago.
Yeah. Here's what happened. When we had you on a couple of months ago and you're talking about this, mm-hmm. I started hearing from people in the criminal justice system who were like, well, wait, the majority of those cases is the first reason that you gave, Lourdes, which is that the defendants themselves want to stay up here as long as they can because they'll get credit for time served if they do get convicted, and they're closer to their families. That's number one. And then all the other things that you mentioned, so they change their lawyers, they file briefs, they do things that delay. And these dockets are so busy that the judges are just not going to sit around and go, all right, well, we're going to rush this. They go, fine, they move that along. So it's sort of both sides are taking advantage of the delay. In essence, but really it's on the defendant themselves or the lawyers for the defendants who want to do that. And then all the other pieces that you just mentioned too, which is that evidence goes away, that witnesses leave town or they die or whatever, especially in these gang situations. So it's not always going to be the same thing. So obviously the criminal justice system in Cook County got a lot to be desired. There's no question about it. But it is not it isn't as I think a lot of people will make the assumption, based on however you want to look at these things, but make the assumption, well, this must be all on the state. A lot of it does have to do with the individual.
I agree with you 100%. The one thing that Sheriff Dart, who was really the only person that was out speaking about this and pretty vocal about it, he said, listen, do I think that a lot of these guys try to sort of slow down the system? He said, yes. However, when you look at a case like the Dylan Roof case, and that was over in Charlottesville where he went into the church and shot some of those individuals, you could argue that he was a very difficult client, right? He kept delaying the system. He was trying to switch attorneys mm-hmm. and venues and all that sort of thing. In his case, from the time he committed the crime to the point where he was convicted, it was 17 months.
Gee.
So what Sheriff Dart is saying is like, look, there's a way to move these cases along and get them going. You can set a trial date, and I don't know why that's not necessarily happening in this situation, but it is, there's a lot of moving parts to this, and there's a lot of players in all of this, from the inmates to the judges to the prosecutors, public defenders, so everybody. But it's kind of interesting to see that there's that many and that it costs $26 million for these 102 inmates.
Right,
absolutely. Kudos to you for exposing that, because I think it is something that is worthy of a lot of
scrutiny. Really interesting.
Thank you, guys.
Really,
so the story will air tonight at 9 o'clock on the WGN News, part of our WGN Investigate Stories.
Now, are you having to put up with Ben on all the shows?
Oh, my gosh.
Are we going to have to do that now?
Wow.
So tonight I'm with him at 4, 5, and 6.
Uh-huh.
And then he's with, I can only take, you know, just a few hours. So then somebody else will come in for the 9 o'clock newscast.
Don't you think that Joe Donlin's really cool?
He is. Is it? Have you had a chance to meet him? And
yeah.
They play golf with him.
He's our new best friend, Lourdes. So I don't know if you
heard. That's what they think.
Yeah. He's always got a thing, so we don't get to hang out with him a lot. He doesn't return any of our phone calls, but he's our best friend.
They're contacting him constantly, but it's sort of a one-way conversation.
We have BFF bracelets and whatnot.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And Kev did go to his house the other day.
Yeah.
You know, stare in his kitchen.
Right. I was
just to see. He said he wasn't home.
You want to have a beer? And he said he wasn't there, but he said, but Kev saw him.
I saw him walking around his house through his window in his backyard.
That might have been his twin brother. So we're not quite sure.
We're hoping that Ben doesn't rub off on him, though, is what we're trying to
do. I know. Oh, my God.
Because they are sitting right next to each other. And I worry sometimes.
I worry, too. I mean, sometimes Ro will get a text message from Ben, and I'll be like, what did he say? He's like, I can't even show it to you. I'm like, does he do that to you, Lourdes? Does he share, like, I don't know what it is, but these things that I'm not allowed to see?
I have permanently blocked him.
Oh, yeah. Good. Perfect.
Yeah, see?
Perfect.
He's never had, that's the thing I think we love most about Ben Bradley, he's never had an unspoken thought. And so that is...
Or visual, apparently.
Right. So there was... There's that. I mean, we've had some fun over the years, you know, sending things. There's some good irony to all of what we're doing. We're making fun of people who would otherwise be doing that. That's what we're doing.
Yeah somebody has to.
Yeah, that's the case.
Well, hopefully it's not at our expense, right?
No.
Other people don't know.
Generally, the joke is on me and Ben, is what it's on.
Yeah.
When we're communicating, it's we're making fun of ourselves or each other.
Oh, you guys are the best. Yeah. And I just like to tease him because he teases me a lot. So you know, I got to give it back.
Yeah, he's a something right there, that guy. All right, well, good luck to you, kids.
Thank you guys so much for letting me talk about the story this afternoon. I really appreciate it. You have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Lourdes.
Thanks, Lourdes. You too.
WGN TV News, and we are joining WGN Radio.
On 720 WGN.
720 WGN Radio Chicago, and we've got Judy Pilak standing by with the WGN News, and we also, coming up this hour, Tom Skilling going to join us in just a few minutes, Lester Holt in the 4 o'clock hour, and Dave Navarro, rock star extraordinaire, will be here. Stay close, as we like to say. Plus, we got the Cheesy DJ in the news, the original patient zero of the Cheesy DJ.
Taylor Swift's guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, stay close right here. Judy's got the news. It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We were on the World Wide Web before that. If the White Sox are on and we are scheduled to be on the radio, you can always find us at WGNradio.com on the WGN app for your mobile device. And also, I think this is very, very important, WGN Radio on TuneIn. Any of those, ask your smart speaker to get it for you, or find it on your phone, find it on your iPad, your computer, whatever it is. It's WGN everywhere. All right, Tom Skilling is joining us right now. And, Tom, we were calling on you a little bit earlier, but we had a technical malfunction because of the World Wide Web. We're going to get this all worked out. We are, I promise
you. We'll figure it out.
Were you trying to call me? Seriously?
Yeah, we were at the top of the hour. We started the show as though we're on the radio. And,
yes.
And so we were going to you for the live weather at the top of the hour, and that didn't... I think they had programmed it over... There's so many dials and buttons now associated with all of this.
And platforms and all. We mix them all up.
Yep.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because on my little box here, I was getting the White Sox game. But
You were getting the radio.
Right.
As opposed to the stream version.
Yes.
The program coming out of here. Yeah, I know. It is, you know what? It's a crazy thing. You know, I got to say something, Tom. When you and I started in this business, the only platforms we worried about were on our feet.
Well,
you know
we had those.
About? Hello.
We had those little.
Oh, I got you there.
We had those little, tin cans with the strings out of them, you know, to our.
Yeah, but it was simpler time.
Yeah.
Now you have more forecasting equipment than you probably know what to do with.
Yeah. And Alexander Graham Bell came along, and look where we went. You know, I mean, Ro and I remember.
Yes. Oi, oi! Alexander Graham Bell here.
Yeah.
Oh, right. No, you probably... No, he's number two. I'm one.
No.
You should call two. That is a great commercial.
It really is.
So good.
It is. Yeah. You know what else is great is this bank commercial that just ran where the guy says, wait a minute, this form, you know, he's applying for a loan, is 25 pages long. Oh, she said, that's right. I gave you the short version. And he said, you want my high school grades for this?
Yeah.
And,
you know, that is the late, great Dick Orkin.
He is marvelous. He was, yes.
Yes. He was, for, you know, long. Yeah. You got to be of a certain age to know Chicken Man and all.
Chicken Man, sure.
He was a big radio personality here in Chicago in the 60s. And then he went off to be the voice of these commercials. Oh. And every radio commercial that you have enjoyed.
Yeah.
Is First American Bank, which he's been doing for years and years and years. Yes. He did all kinds of things, but he, it was always funny. It's always brilliantly constructed.
Amazing.
Uses the same radio and animation stars. Those are all people that work in in cartoons as well that he had out in L.A. That guy is a first ballot Hall of Fame broadcast legend.
Yeah, one of the originals. So, you know, they're like Paul Harvey and many of these amazing broadcasters. Right. Howard Cosell and, you know.
But what, Tom, while you couldn't hear us before, we were talking about you, actually.
Oh,
your name came up with John.
Maybe it's better I didn't hear
you. Well, you'll see, because we'll tell you. We have a question for you. John Williams was asking. Us and we thought your name came up, and we said, well, what's about favorite drinks? And we said, well, I wonder what Tom Skilling's favorite go-to adult beverage would be.
Like, you were at a bar or you were at home, you're going to do one thing, what would it be?
Well, you know, what is it? An amaretto?
Sour?
Yeah. I like that. You know, I go for the sweet things. I don't drink very often. I'm not much of a drinker, but
So the taste becomes the issue.
It does. Yeah. It's pretty important. And, you know, when it comes to wines, I like Zinfandel and stuff like that. You know, I just something sweet.
Like the sweeter ones. Like
yes.
Yes. Like the white Zin, which has got it's kind of a pinkish color.
Yeah. How about you guys? What did you say?
We'll drink anything. whatever Roe buys us.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. I see.
It doesn't really end.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Ro knows how to pick out wine. So whenever we go to his house, we all have the really nice wines.
Did you study that on your own? I have friends who have gone to courses for that, Ro. Or did you just develop it through?
Just years of experience, Tom. It's been 3 decades of learning what I like and I don't like, and I don't know. You know, you get to a point where you go to these these fancy ass parties,
right?
And they're serving something. You're like, well, how come? Why don't I know about this?
Yeah.
You know, and so you take mental notes, and then you kind of figure it out along the way. And we did actually. I'll tell you where I learned a lot. Who was really great? We had the Wine Whisperer here on this radio program for the last couple of years. Who works at Binny's?
Yeah,
and she is. Kristen Ellis is amazing. She's one of those top level sommeliers.
Yes.
And she figured out for us, she would create stuff for us for our parties and for stuff that we were doing on the air and for events that we were doing. And not expensive. Not expensive stuff at all.
Which is interesting, isn't
right.
it? Yeah.
It's just as good as a bottle you're going to pay $100 for, and you're going to get it for $19.
You often hear that, you know? You don't have to pay through the teeth for it.
No.
And you can get some really quality wines. I always feel so ignorant when I go to a meal and, somebody there says, now what kind of wine would... And you know they know what they're talking about.
Right.
And, when I come up with something like, Boone's Farm or something like that.
Okay.
Remember that they used to sell years ago?
Yeah, Blue Nun.
Ripple or... Jeez. I've almost forgotten about
Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's college.
Yeah.
People drink
that's the good stuff.
They pull that out. All the
Kevin,
flavors.
Kevin checks it.
Kevin's like, yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
College, that stuff was cheap and it worked.
But don't they have those wild flavors like bubblegum and grape?
It's not really wine.
And
it's like in a grown-up juice drink type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what replaced it, though, with the kids these days, and for a while I was doing it, too, but which was thank God there was medical intervention because the was Red Bull and vodka.
Oh, yeah. That yeah. became very popular.
Four Loko was crazy with kids our age. And then I think they got banned from most shelves or they had to redo the recipe because that was like an energy drink mixed with booze. Yeah. And everyone was like, well, this is great. We can just drink this and get us going for the day.
Yeah. I found out the hard way. That both things can kill you on their own. And when you combine them together, not so good.
It's essentially liquid rat poison.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But now the craft beers have so much alcohol in them, don't they, that you don't really need the hard alcohol.
Some of those, you're looking at like 10%, some of those stouts and porters you can get. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like gasoline.
See, I have trouble enough performing just without, chemical alteration. So I figure, don't pull you're playing with fire, Skilling, if you get into this other stuff.
But are you having
on a Saturday night, I know that we were talking about it at the party for for Sepulsa or whatever.
Right.
If everybody's having a cocktail, you have a cocktail or a glass of wine or whatever. It lessens the mood.
I find I start laughing a lot.
Oh, God.
That's,
Jiggler?
Yeah.
That's good. You're happy.
My roommates have videotaped that with their phones or taped it with their phones. And this is quite a conversation piece.
Oh, God.
And how do you think you look? Or how do you...
Stupid. might as well not beat around the bush, Anna, How about you, Anna? What is your purpose?
How am I? You guys have seen me when we all have our beverages together.
You're pretty much a wine. Although...
A whiner, just you drink wine.
Yeah. I love good wine. So it's kind of nice when you someone like Ro picks it out or Kristen Ellis comes by and she recommends wines for, and she recommends wines that are reasonable too. And so, I just enjoy it.
No reason not to do it.
But I think I get more mellow and probably happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had to kind of take the harder stuff and move it over to the side now. You get to a certain age.
Yeah,
and you're
as we get older.
It's going to hurt the next day. But
didn't they, and they continue to think, right, that, we always marveled at the French and, the butter and the beautiful French cuisine. I mean, delicious French cuisine. But they always said that, and we marveled at the fact with all the butter and all and oils and all in the food that people don't get sick more, don't have more cardiovascular problems. And they said, well, it's probably because wine is...
the wine, they think it's... Well, but that's...
Is that still holding up?
Yeah. It generally is red wine.
Red wine,
that's right.
And it is red wine, and when they say moderation, they really mean it. They mean a glass maybe two. Anything over two has the exact opposite effect.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's you.
I learned that the hard way last night.
It's kind of like a liquid Roto-Rooter for your arterial system.
For everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You get to a certain age, you're like, hey, what did I... you wake up. You ever do this where you wake up and go, what did I just... Oh, no.
My new favorite drink is Rob Roy's.
Really?
Yeah, it's a Manhattan with scotch.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So good.
Yeah.
That's a powerful drink.
Yeah.
I recommend Miller Lite if anybody hasn't tried it. Very refreshing.
Kevin is Miller Lite, so you got to have one.
Kevin sticks with the basics, just...
It sort of depends on who I'm with. Like my dad likes a little brown water, a little bourbon, so if I'm with him, I'll dabble in that. Ro's pretty much got everything, so with Ro, it's like it's a trip around the alcohol
world.
Now,
what do you say about the Miller Lite, Kevin?
It's spelled different because it's brewed different, folks.
Yeah, exactly right, Kevin.
Do you know, I had a friend who worked up at the Miller Brewing Company in Milwaukee, and they said that they allowed... them to drink beer on their breaks up there. It was
doing God's work up there.
They're trying to prove something. Well, the same thing at Anheuser-Busch too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Same thing. Wow.
And then they would at Anheuser-Busch, when you get off your shift, you could go to like the beer hall and have a beer or two.
Wow.
And then go home. And then I think they may have started to frown on that. Now, the St. Louis Cardinals had a tragedy surrounding this because they used to do that after the game, too, because they were owned by the Bush, the Bush family. Mm-hmm. And they would have just beer, just gigantic iced like trays of beer that would come in, big buckets of beer in the locker room. So when they got off the field, they drink beer, and then they had a guy, drunk drive himself into a
you know, catastrophe.
Oh boy.
So they've stopped that. But I don't want to bring anybody down. But that was the thing, is that it was like, okay. Although in our business, I mean, everybody would, you know, you'd go back to like that Mad Men thing. And you go, oh, well, that stopped in the 60s or 70s.
No, it didn't. In broadcasting, you're right. I mean, it seemed like for a while. I mean, everyone gets together after you work unusual shifts, right? So you get off at 10:30 or 11 o'clock, and everybody, none of your friends are really out on a Tuesday night and Wednesday night. So everyone goes out, and there's a camaraderie about it. But there's a lot of, you know, imbibing.
Well, isn't that, that was always associated with, you know, the newspapermen, too.
Sure.
You know, the Billy Goat and all. Yeah. And a lot of discussion and stories were discussed there.
Everybody loves the alcohol. Now they go to the Trump Hotel in Washington and pay $30 for a martini.
I can't imagine that. $30.
So they can be seen there, take a picture of themselves, and then, you know, hashtag Trump 2020 right there, and that's how it goes.
Oh, gosh.
They get the security clearances that he took away from everybody else. All right, Tom, we will see you tomorrow. Anything that we need to know about? A little bit of rain moving through, right?
Yeah. These little thunderstorms, very light winds aloft, a lot of humidity in the air. They won't be, regular. They won't appear regularly. There'll be gaps between them. But if you get under one of these, there's the potential there for some downpours. So we'll see them off and on right through the next 36 hours. The weekend looks great.
Oh.
For the Air and Water Show.
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
That's great.
That'll be nice.
I look forward. It's my favorite event of the year here.
It's very cool.
Yeah. All right. And we're going to have Sean Tucker on tomorrow, the Oracle guy, the guy that does all those crazy things in a single-engine prop plane.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Oh, it's insane what he does.
Wasn't that story about the Horizon Air hijacking and all that in Seattle something else? I know we're closing off here, so I shouldn't bring up a new subject, but that was pretty weird.
You know, you've been in this business 40 years,
yeah.
Tom.
Now you're allowed to do anything you want.
Yeah, you can do it, right. We can break format now.
I know. Yeah, Skilling's gone up.
Tom has to play polka music.
Yeah, he's gone down another one of these verbal cul-de-sacs, you know, just got himself in one.
I hope you get a lot more cake, because you can't stop. You got to celebrate all week.
Gosh.
I mean, wow. Those cakes look fantastic.
Oh, they were marvelous. I didn't have... We were so busy talking and all and celebrating. I didn't have a time to eat all of it, but I took little samples, and they were good. I wish I could have gotten you some.
All right.
Talk to you later,
guys. Thank you, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, Anna.
Here is the great Judy Pilak with the WGN News at the top of the hour. What are the headlines?
Fire Madigan, the mantra at today's Illinois State Fair.
Was it Democrat Day down there today? Or was it Republican Day?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I don't know.
It was Republican Day.
All right, because you never
know.
Tomorrow
it'll be Fire Rauner.
Yeah.
Because it'll be Democrat
Might
Day.
Be Fire Madigan, too.
Possibly.
Before it's all said and done. All right, here's Violetta. Bro Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, I got Billy Joel tickets. Giveaway after 6
nice.
O'clock.
Wrigley Field.
Dave Navarro is going to be here, rock star extraordinaire.
Kind of a big deal, huh, Kev?
Yep.
Wouldn't you say?
Big deal. It's a huge deal. And in the top 5 at 5, we find out that the guy who was the organizer of the Unite the Right march.
Yeah, the 12 people who showed up.
Yeah, in D.C. over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And was one of the organizers of the one last year, the deadly one in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
It turns out he has what Kevin Powell had until recently.
What?
A problem, because his parents were getting in the way of his racist activities.
Well, they were getting in the way. I wasn't trying to get any racist activities.
Yeah, no,
they were getting in the way.
Separate him out of that.
The parents are getting in the way of his... Of his job. He's a professional racist.
Uh-huh.
Kevin's a professional broadcaster.
Different. Very different.
Very different. Professional sports guy.
This guy's a basement dweller?
Yes. He was a basement dweller. And in the middle of one of his hate-filled podcasts, his dad walks in.
I'm just trying to save a few bucks for some more tiki torches. And
Dad!
You know.
Damn it.
Damn it, Dad.
Dad, I'm trying to foment hatred!
Get people going.
Ah! I need more white sheets!
Oh, gee.
And where are the scissors?
think his parents knew what the heck
Yeah, I
he
think
was...
so.
Oh.
But we, it's a classic moment. We'll be playing it in the top five at five. I think you're going to want to stay tuned for that.
It's a phase.
Just try to save a few bucks, you know?
Ma, where are the wooden crosses? Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720. WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Gene Pilek's got the WGN News at 4 o'clock. Keep her out here after 6 o'clock. A chance to win a pair of tickets to Billy Joel Wrigley Field September 7th. Billy Joel's fifth consecutive year. Tickets on sale at Cubs.com/ Billy Joel 79 at O'Hare. Wait, I'm talking over him now, aren't I? I lost it.
Come on, get it together. The only thing you do well.
I know.
Creepy.
Mess it up.
You got
DJ.
One job, creepy yeah. DJ. Or cheesy DJ.
Cheesy DJ. Right, cheesy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Creepy DJ was mentioned by Taylor Swift at her concert last night. We can talk about that. She's remembering that she was in court 1 year ago.
Hey, a shout out to Creepy
week.
DJ. Congratulations, DJ man.
She held up a dollar bill.
Did Creepy DJ and Cheesy DJ ever work together?
Actually, maybe one in the same. All right.
I was wondering.
Lester Holt, you know, he had to put up with this last week. He doesn't have to put up with it this week from the NBC Nightly News. And I got to just start with this because this seems unprecedented, although we get pretty tired of saying that, I think. In our lives, this is unprecedented. The security clearance of the former CIA director has been pulled, apparently pulled weeks ago, and now the White House is letting us know that they did this, and they pulled his security clearance because they say he made unfounded accusations about the administration. What is the NBC reporting on this?
Well, he actually just appeared on MSNBC reacting. This is Brennan just a short while ago, and you know, talking about what a chilling effect it has. This is you may recall the White House threatened this several weeks ago. Now the president says they're reviewing the security clearances of several other former high government staffers who just so happens all have been critical of the president. He thinks they're sowing division and discord within his administration and wants to pull this from. Now, the practicality, these are folks who are not working currently in government, but the explanation we get is that these security clearances can be valuable because they can talk with their successors and offer advice from time to time, but this appears to be, at least on the surface, a case of presidential payback.
In the actual statement, the president wrote that he has a unique constitutional responsibility to protect the nation's classified information, including by controlling access to it. Is he suggesting that in some way he leaked classified information or mishandled it in some way?
I think what he's saying is that he and others have used classified information to further their attacks on his White House. Mm-hmm. That's my reading on it. Exactly. That he's gleaned benefits that other folks might have and has used it. Although there's no specific accusations of anything in which he violated specifically his security clearance. But this is certainly unheard of.
Yeah.
Well,
unprecedented.
You're right.
How many times have we said that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Keep that word handy.
I mean, the reality of this is that Michael Flynn still has his security clearance. Michael Flynn's already pled guilty to lying about his contacts with the Russians, and he gets to keep his.
Yeah, well, it's obvious when you look at the list. James Clapper, James Comey, Michael Hayden, Sally Yates, Susan Rice, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Orr. They've all been highly critical of the president, and they're all on this list of evaluation for their security clearance getting yanked as well.
Yeah, and Brennan, again, he was just on MSNBC. He's saying this is all about an effort to silence critics, and I think it certainly reads that way. I think that I can't imagine anyone reading it much differently.
Is there any reason to believe that there is that actually does make a ton of difference for these guys? I mean, now that it seems to be political payback, it isn't really it's not dishonorable, right? Because it's based. It clearly reflects more on the president than it does on these people.
Yeah, I mean, these are folks who, you know, a lot of their information, they were in the know from when they were within an administration, and I don't know that it'll affect their livelihoods. I've heard, anecdotally, I've heard stories that maybe it helps a resume in terms of, you know, consulting opportunities and maybe media opportunities and that sort of thing. It's a bit unclear. I don't think anyone's going to go out of, you know, their livelihoods are going to be hit by this, but I think it's more the sense of reaction we're seeing right now. There's a sense that this is a little chilling.
Yeah. Well, it's clearly it's a pushback. The other thing,
and remember that a current president, in terms of a former White House employee, has little other things they can control. This is something they can actually take away.
Oh, I think I think that might be an understatement. I'm not sure, Lester. I get the sense that maybe he's got more power than we ever thought he did. Yeah. We never thought any president did. We're like, wait, he can do that?
Like, is that okay?
Yeah. How many times have you heard that? Like, wait, what?
Well, he certainly tested limits. Let's put it that way.
Yes, for sure. Hey, all right. Well, so along that line, Rudy Giuliani earlier today said that they're giving Robert Mueller 2 to 3 weeks to wrap up this little investigation he's working on. Otherwise, they're coming down on him like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, it's almost like things are reversed here a little bit. It's a little unclear what he meant by that. I mean, the special counsel is moving at their speed. With they're obviously privy to the information of where they're at and where they want to go in this. So it's a little, it's one of those statements that how do you read it? What does come down on a ton of bricks mean? I mean, you're talking about a potential prosecution here,
right? Well, he's okay. So. The guy, I go back to this initial premise that wait, can he do that? Because it's we haven't really had a situation successfully where the guy who could fire the person who's investigating him actually got away with it and lived politically to tell about it.
Yeah, I mean, part of you wonders with each of these statements and stuff, how much does it continue to form at least when they come out of the president's mouth, this idea of obstruction of justice? I mean, what goes where? How do you file it away? What does it mean?
Right.
And I think we're all just kind of waiting and seeing.
Yeah, well, yeah. Obviously, it all started with his interview with you. Right,
that's true.
That whole obstruction of justice. It's kind of that moment in that sit down interview with Lester Holt. The president said, I was thinking about this Russia thing, and
right.
Everybody seizes
that's
on that.
But, haunted him.
But the president's he's often very tossed salady, if you will, in terms of his words. So you're never quite sure whether it's an intent, that of something, or it's just kind of words that pop out and they're out of context. And what does it actually mean?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they're inarticulate and true, and they're they seem to be random access. So you're right. When you go back and look, I mean, what was said? Well, I leave it to others. I mean, I was in the room and did the interview. I leave it to others to try to, discern from it what the deeper meaning is. And then I guess it'll be up to Robert Mueller ultimately. But he raised Russia. I hadn't mentioned Russia.
Yeah, you're making news with another big interview, a sit down with Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, and the fact that how he's dealing with. Well, particularly Alex Jones and in situations like that, the conspiracy theorist, and telling him that he gets a timeout. He's going to keep him off Twitter for 7 days.
Yeah, interesting choice of words, timeout. I mean, obviously, people have little kids, spend 5 minutes in the corner. In this case, he didn't follow Facebook and Apple and Spotify and YouTube, which all took action to either take him off their platforms or severely restrict him. What he did in this case was essentially call a 7-day suspension on his activities. I think he has some limited use to read stuff. But this actually has to do not with his Sandy Hook claims. This has to do with something that was posted in the last couple of days in which it seemed to suggest a call that people should arm themselves for the media.
Yeah, he said get your battle rifles ready to fight the media and Antifa. Mm-hmm.
And Twitter, under their rules of service, considered that a threatening comment. So, I asked him, what are you doing about it? And he says, when you were doing this 7-day timeout, which again is essentially a suspension. And then my follow-up naturally is, what makes you think that he's going to change his behavior and attitude after 7 days? And he says, well, there's some evidence that it works sometimes. So it's judging from some of the things we're seeing on Twitter, I think it falls out very short of where a lot of people would like to see Twitter right now on this issue. They want him to make a stronger stand. His point was that their rules have evolved where they are right now. Nothing he had done up to this point had violated those rules. So, obviously this is going to continue to be a controversy as people struggle with this idea. Can you have this open town square and at the same time police it from hate speech and other, harassing and other negative behaviors?
I guess that's what it really comes down to, which is, are we going to live in an era where everybody's opinion, regardless of its factual basis, has equal merit? And that's the issue, because it all sits equal on those platforms. It's unregulated, unguided, non-refereed, and so it just, and it goes out. And who's ultimately responsible if, there is damage as a result of those lies being printed and being not corrected by the people who own those platforms, right? So he goes on Twitter and he claims something that is patently false that either costs a business a lot of money or it costs somebody their life or it sparks civil unrest. Yeah. Who's ultimately responsible? Is it Twitter or is it this guy?
Yeah, and it seems he's trying to take a hands-off role. I'd be interested if he went farther with that explanation, because he's always said, "Well, we don't curate content. That's up to our users. If it violates terms of the agreement or the our terms of service, then we calls to action or violence or hate, then they'll do something." But it seems as if he doesn't really want to be in the business of doing too much of this.
Well, he expressed regret. I asked him, are there any regrets about not being there to protect the Sandy Hook families when these ugly accusations that the children were actors were being spewed about? And he said, yeah, he did regret that and that any harm that may have come, that things that were on his platform. I also asked him, I said, well, do you make any exceptions in your rules for famous people? And he said, none. And then I pushed him further and noted President Trump's tweet of yesterday calling Omarosa a dog. I said, is that considered hate speech? That's something that violates your terms. And that's when he said, well, there is a distinction for world leaders. And
wait a minute.
Okay, hold on.
Wait a minute.
All right. Okay.
Does it work?
Okay. You got to watch. I'm giving you the whole thing.
All right. Okay. Fine. We'll watch
at
5:30.
We're still going to watch.
Yeah. Hey, I let's just stop for a second. I just want to take a little stock of where we are right now on the planet Earth, on this, the middle of August in 2018, that we've got the President of the United States calling a reality television star that he foolishly put in his own, political orbit, that a dog, right? And if we went back 15 years, and I said to you, Lester Holt, hey, guess what's going to happen? See that guy on NBC, your network? See that guy right there, that Donald Trump? He's going to be president of the United States. See her, Omarosa? She's the bad guy on the show? She's going to be part of his administration, and then she's going to turn on him. And you'd believe the second part, but you wouldn't believe the first part.
You couldn't.
I might have said to you, that's pretty good. You should write that. It'd be a great book. It'd probably sell a lot of copies.
Yeah. And here we are. And I think that a little bit of what the play here, if I could just go back to the Brennan thing where he's pulling Brennan's security clearance, part of what's going on there is that it takes Omarosa off the front page for, out of the conversation for a couple hours in this news cycle.
Well, I mean, the news cycle is no longer, it's down to 2 hours, 1 hour news cycle. And, I don't know how much that has to do with the White House, but things, move so quickly. And I always comment with things like this particular tweet come out that it's big news, but I say, we're going to forget about it in a couple of days.
Yeah, we'll get Manafort.
Because
you got Manafort. Obviously, that case is now going to go to the jury.
Yeah.
It's all done. So we'll have to see how long that sits in the jury.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll draw, no matter what the verdict is, that will draw a lot of reaction.
Speaking of jury, I have jury duty tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to the Lester Holt welcome video with the mustache. I missed your mustache. So I'll get to see it again.
I do, too. Every few weeks, I get a tweet from someone who says, I was in jury duty in Cook County.
It's still there. Get to see Lester.
I'm like, why can't they raise taxes just enough that they can afford to produce another one?
Are you still getting royalties? That's what I want to know.
I think things ran out.
I don't even think I got a lunch. We did it on a, I remember we did it on a Saturday, but that must have been, I want to say, like, was it 92, 93? I have no idea, but I was a child.
Long time ago.
All right, we'll let you go. I know you're getting ready for the show. Thank you very much, Lester.
Thanks, Lester.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
All right, Lester Holt, NBC Nightly News. I'm new at 5:30.
One of the nicest guys in the biz.
It is weird, though, man. You walk in there and you're,
it is.
It's because you, it's just weird. It's to see Lester telling you about your role as a juror.
He's a good guy to deliver it.
Now remember,
mind
for tomorrow,
for civic duty.
You can't bring like your cell phone and stuff in.
Oh, what do you do with that? You leave it. You can't bring the cell phone into at all. Did they have a little box or something? I haven't done this in a while.
Yeah. Well, I would just not bring. I would just leave it in. You know, somewhere else. Some people just leave it in the bushes at the, you know, around 26th Street.
Along with some other things they want to dump before they get
exactly.
in the courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you want to go over there without your cell phone.
No, but you cannot bring it in the building.
You can't.
So leave it in your car. Or,
right.
Yeah. Because they'll make you turn around and go put it in your car.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll be late for signing in. Then they're going to give you the stink eye. That's never good.
And then Lester Holt will, like, have to admonish you in another video.
Yes. And they take you into a room, where, you
special
watch,
room.
Where you watch Lester Holt shave his mustache. It's anchor porn what goes on. But you got to bring a book. I don't know. Now, this is going to really freak out Violetta. They suggest you bring a book.
Oh. To read.
To read the words on the page.
Like magazines?
You could look at the pictures.
Magazines.
You can bring magazines, too. But do you do that thing where you try to swipe open the pictures? Like, you try to enlarge them on the magazine?
Hey, it's not working.
Hey, this is... Wait. How come
how does
that won't
this
work?
This is
who wore it best. I'll just ask him when I get on the stand. Okay, you're out of here.
Yeah, that's what I should bring. Just like one of those magazines.
What do you guys think? This girl or this girl? Kim or Kylie?
See, this is the modern way of getting off jury duty. The old way is just to pretend you're a criminal or a racist, right? And that got you off jury duty. Now you're like, oh yeah, no, I got about 100 lawsuits going on in the court right now.
Or will this mean I missed the Kardashians and kept catching up on everything? Like, you just sort of say that, you know, that's what you're going to spend your time doing.
Or they say, is there any reason why you cannot judge this fairly? You go, yeah, I don't like those people. And they say, which people? Those people. And just point into the room. It could be anybody.
And say those.
Those. I don't like those people.
Them, those, and these.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not going to do any of that, but we'll see how it goes. Yeah. It's always fun.
It's accepted now, though. That's very important to know that's totally okay now just to say that, because anybody can say that.
Do you get to know what kind of case you're going to be on?
Well, you do find out, yeah. I mean, if you get called into a courtroom and they're choosing you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're sitting down.
Turn back.
It's you get it. Well, no, I mean they could choose not to have you.
Oh, that's mean.
I mean, no, that's really not. That's like free lunch, baby. I'm out of here.
Once they know you're in the media, you're pretty much out, right, Anna?
No.
That's how it used to be, right? What? It used to be everyone you knew in a newsroom would automatically be like, okay, you're done. Get out of here.
Yeah.
But now I know a number of people in the business who've been chosen recently.
I'm a sports reporter.
I'm a sports guy.
No big deal.
I work near the newsroom. I'm out of here.
I always have a pending case in Cook County.
So you're out.
So it's like there's always something. So I always go, you know, I got a pending case.
Mr. Conigan.
Have my statements prepared. Like, is there a limit as to how much we can give your client? And then they usually say, I would like her excused, please.
Oh, gosh, Judy.
That's if you make it all the way through and you hear the case, you're like, oh, no, this is not a good case. See, my mom is always chosen. She's chosen regularly for jury duty. And she's an immigrant, and she looks at it as her civic duty. And she takes the certificate from jury duty and frames it and puts it on the wall.
That's a good thing.
You know?
People should do
Because I know we all try to get out of it because it is, you know, it disrupts your life and whatever.
No.
But I get it.
What happens if you've been called to jury duty, but you don't show up to jury duty?
Then you'll be on the next case.
Yes.
Like they will, being tried.
They will put out a warrant.
Oh, okay.
Time to change your name, Violetta?
To what now? What is it? She's running out of aliases. All right.
Well, you better have a really good excuse.
I was just curious.
Really good excuse.
Yeah. Well, I think
moving on.
Yeah. I'm not citizen. Just do that when you walk in. I don't know why they keep calling. I'm not citizen. Although, I don't know. Do you have to be a citizen? I don't think you have to They take out the voting rolls.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's...
This is based on drivers... Is this based on driver's license or voter rolls?
It used to be voter rolls. I think it's now driver's license.
Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah.
I guess that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Well, Violetta doesn't have a valid one of those either. So it's all okay. Oh, but she's got the traffic, though. But first, Judy, tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Well, the Manafort case about to go to the jury.
All right, Violetta.
You sit around there telling stories, taking chips for old past glory.
James Addiction, and speaking of James Addiction, look at this.
Yeah. Really, the celebrity hotline.
Yep. I always say super the super celebrity hotline, and this time I actually mean it. Dave Navarro is joining us, and it's an honor to have you, sir. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the time. I'm surprised you played that track coming in. I love that song.
Thank you.
End of the Lies, it's called.
Yeah. I do, too.
I think that counts. I think that's the third time that song has been played, so thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Our sonic genius, Brian Altimer, is like, yes, he just said that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we produce this for the artists. We're very artist-friendly here. All right, so we want to talk about this project that you're involved in, because it is, for people who know your life story, which I'd say a lot of your fans do, but a lot of people don't. You know, they just kind of, you know, remember you from James Addiction or Red Hot Chili Peppers and all the other projects that you've done. But people who don't know, you lost your mom to a murder when you were a teenager. Your parents had been separated and you were split in time, as a lot of, you know, divorced kids do, between your mom and your dad's house. You happened to be at your dad's house this night that her ex-boyfriend came over and killed her and then another woman who was in the house with her at
That's
the time,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you spent, it took 8 years to find this guy, right? Including using the help of America's Most Wanted, right?
Yeah, in fact, America's Most Wanted is what actually took him down. A tip came in and went to the show, and that's how they got him. We owe a lot to that show.
Wow. That did catch a lot of people over the years.
Where did they eventually find him? Was he in hiding? Did he do his identity, or did he become another person? What happened?
I believe he was picked up on a different crime, on a burglary crime, and then once they had him in the system, they got him and knew he was one. But yeah, I mean, thanks for telling the story. It sounds like you know the story, and I really respect that.
Yeah. Well, what is interesting is that now it's been made into you. There's a film that's been made about your experience here, your life, how it impacted your life. And then you actually went to the prison. You went to San Quentin to go see this guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
What did you want to get out of that experience?
All those answers are in the film, Morning Sun. That's the film that you're talking about.
Right.
That's actually, we're doing a screening of it there in Chicago. At the Virgin Hotel on Friday, the 17th.
Right, coming up day after tomorrow. And that's, if people want to do this, you can, it's an Eventbrite, you have to go to Eventbrite and look this up, right? Because that's
you go to Eventbrite, and it's brought to you by Industry TV, but that's Industry with an I. I-N-D, the middle.
I-N-D-I-S-T-R-Y, right. Right.
Yeah. They always got to make it. Everybody's got to make it challenging. Anyway.
So true. So I thought, that's exactly what I thought of when I saw that, Dave. I was like, I'm looking at that going, we're doing a radio interview, and when people misspell stuff, they never think about radio anymore. They only think about apps.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, that's cool.
I know,
that's
but
cool.
It means, kids are being born these days with, numbers in their name. It's insane.
I know.
Anyway.
So you made this film with your best friend, and I imagine that was quite an emotional journey for both of you, potentially.
He had his own roller coaster he was on, but the thing is that he and I just decided to make this film, and we just did our things. We got in the car with camcorders, and I just started filming. Neither one of us had made a film before, and so this is what ended up taking about 6 years of work. Primarily because it was the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we put together a documentary. And then after the screening on Friday at the Virgin Hotel, he and I, Todd Newman and I, will be doing a Q&A with the audience. And Q&A tends to gear towards healing and trauma and survivalism. rather than filmmaking, although we encourage filmmaking questions too, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine that this is, I mean, domestic violence and the issues of this film potentially helping other people in some way. Do you imagine it'll have that impact, or has it?
That is the hope. I know that many people have reached out to me and have told me that, you know, a lot of the wild signs that they were experiencing, they saw in the film, and they managed to make a change. So, yeah, we would love to spread that message. You know, I work very closely with Safe Horizon, which provides housing for families in domestically violent situations. NoMore.org. You know, there are different organizations like this that are out there, and we just want to spread that message and just say, look, the most unimaginable thing is quite possible, and there are warning signs, and, you know, we're here to give you a heads up.
Yeah.
But even at this, even in the same breath, you know, loss is loss and trauma is trauma. So even if those messages don't speak to you, there's something to be gained out of just the process of any kind of grief. And I think that a lot of people relate to the story just on that level.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, and also, I think that's one of the parts of the story, one of the parts of this film is an unblinking look at the destruction it wrought on the survivors here, you mm-hmm. specifically,
yeah.
and how yeah. it changed your life, and it it certainly fostered, encouraged, fed addictive behavior. It did other things. You know, it led, as people are just trying to numb the pain of something like this. And then,
yeah.
you know, you stop. And here in Chicago, it's interesting that you're doing this, Dave, here in Chicago, because, they, you know, there is so much, we see so much violence and pathology as a mm-hmm. result of violence, and generations that are touched by violence, and then seemingly Shakespeareanly doomed to repeat the violence because of a lot of the things that you talk about in this film, which is about addiction and mourning and loss of basically a sense that anything will ever be okay again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. I'm so honored that you're having this dialogue with me. That's exactly right. So not only is it talking about the trauma, and it's talking about the loss and the grieving, but the fact that there, you know, many times there's a hole that's left in the victim, in the survivors, you know, because we watch a lot of crime shows these days. It's always about the psychology of the killer, and it focuses in it, and it's right. fascinating, and I understand that, but what they don't really talk about is the family members left over and what they go through. And lives get destroyed and lives get derailed for years and years and years. Sometimes they aren't able to recover from it. It takes down a lot more people than just the direct victim. So, thanks for bringing that up, because that's part of the message, is that, you know, I definitely know things that don't work, and I definitely know things that have worked for me, and I'm willing to share those.
Yeah. Well, and you have an amazing story, and your art clearly speaks for itself. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, as we were talking about earlier, before you were here, bragging on you a little bit, actually bragging on ourselves for having you on
yes,
the show.
Yes, that was more like
but,
it.
But the reality is, I mean, you know, you're one of the great, you know, the standout artists of your generation in rock. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to tell this other side of the story of your life, and it gives people a sense of inspiration about where you've been and how to overcome all of that. But more right. importantly, that really bad stuff happens to people, and they have to find a way. They have to find a way yeah. out, and you make mistakes. And I think that's the beauty of this project, is it mm-hmm. it shows that you can make mistakes and still be okay at the end. There is
absolutely.
Life on the other side.
Absolutely, 100%. I couldn't have said it better. In fact, I'm recording this, and I'm going to type up my new press release.
Thank you.
How about that?
Right, I'll just write your press release for you. Hey,
I really appreciate it.
I think people should see this. If you're not going to be able to make it out to this, let me just again explain how people can do this. It's going to be at the Virgin Hotel on Friday night, and you go to Eventbrite. You go to the app or the website Eventbrite, mm-hmm. and you're able to look this up. I think it's Virgin 2018 is the let me make sure I got that right. It was in here. Yeah, the code Virgin 2018 is what you can use at the industry app. Actually, INDISTRY. Again, not making it easy. If those industry guys are there, Dave, on Friday night, you give them a piece of my mind
yeah.
on that.
Let them know.
Tell them that they should.
The best part is you're reading this stuff so beautifully, and halfway through it, I'm not even sure how to get in.
Mm-hmm. I know, I don't either. I'm not sure myself. Well, you're Dave Navarro. You probably can get in. We'll try to work that out.
And then you punch in this code, and it will send you a coordinates that you will meet
right
at in the park.
I know.
And at that time, you will be given a key, and it will unlock one of 10 doors.
All right, so it's called...
It's unbelievable.
You know what? I'm just going to give the name of the film, and then people can Google it. And
that's best.
We'll reverse engineer this to make it...
Okay, thank you.
As easy as possible. We'll also put stuff up at our website, WGNradio.com, and we'll also tweet and do all the rest of the social media stuff, send out links to this. It's called Morning Sun, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Morning is in, you know, sad morning.
Even I couldn't make it easy. Yeah. I had to make it...
I know, look what
you're
you did.
You're not helping, Dave.
Wait, Morning Sun! Is it Emma? It's like that in the sun in the morning? No, he's a sun, and he's sad. He's morning. Yeah. It's morning.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Morning, I get it. Yeah. Okay.
It's all making sense.
I know.
Perfect.
I'm the guy who's, you know, he's calling out the way to get tickets, and then I do the same thing in the title.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Irony.
But the industry people are going to be there. And there's CEO is a woman. You could just go up to her, Mary, and you'd say, hey.
Yeah.
I made this tough. You made it harder. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody here?
Together, it's impossible.
Yeah. And you actually, I just noticed this. I didn't even notice this till now, that in the Q&A afterwards, it's being moderated by Daniel Robay, who was our intern.
Stop.
She started with us.
Really? I'm a huge fan. She's great. I will send her your regards.
Please do.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you for everything you've done for my earballs. That's what I want to say to you, Dave Navarro.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Dave. Dave Navarro, rock star extraordinaire.
Gosh, I want to see this documentary.
All right. So we have now Judy Pilak standing by. She'll tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Chicago to help crush the cartel.
Thank you. Violetta, your WGN traffic being brought to you by Plains Farm and Fleet.
Dean Richards joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 8:10. More animal-themed Beatles songs, plus everything going on in the entertainment world.
Yep, I was on the program this morning, no big deal.
Oh, how'd it go?
Yep, not well.
No?
Not well at all. First of all, I got lectured by Jordan Kaufberg. Who's on that show now?
No, Justin.
It was Kaufstein.
Kaufman.
Justin Kaufman.
Kaufman.
Because he was telling me, because we said Dave Navarro from Red Hot Chili Peppers is going to be on. He's like, you know, he's more well associated with Jane's Addiction. And I'm like, yeah, okay. All right, I get it. I'm a Red Hot Chili Peppers guy. I kind of like.
Sure.
That was good. I think they were at their very finest when they had him for a cup of coffee. He was on at least, he was on one album of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that.
There's that Justin. He knows his arts and culture. And he let you know. He had to let you know.
And so there was that. So he told me off. And then I was talking too much about myself, and Steve didn't like that this morning.
Oh, so Steve went after you, too.
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
Huh.
So there was that.
Not a good morning.
I was the Violetta of the program this morning.
It's not easy, is it?
No, it is not. It is not. I was hitting all the wrong notes with those guys. This morning.
It's a certain talent to do
that. I enjoyed it from beginning to end.
I heard it, and I thought it was pretty good, too.
It translated well over the air.
Well, thank you, guys. I'll take that as a compliment to myself as well.
See what she did?
Oh, boy.
I see what she did there.
Now, only Rose said he reminded himself of you, not us, Violetta. So,
the striking out. Yeah, I know that feeling.
I thought it sounded good, but they were a little bit put out.
Yeah, they were on me. They were on me today. They didn't like anything else that I was selling today.
But to us, it was funny.
Fault.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Don't beat yourself up. They were wrong.
No, beat yourself up.
Okay.
You could have done better.
All right, thank you.
Or maybe Judy will offer to do it for you.
Yeah, Judy, why don't you start doing the show? Why don't you come in at 9 o'clock in the morning and do the show here?
And actually, were you here?
Not today. I'm normally here, though.
It sounded like you were here, and I thought that was the most spectacular thing.
Yeah, I'm normally here, but we through the magic of magic, I was able to sound like I was here. But I do come in, and it freaks out Steve that I'm here. Well, because I got the parking. You know, I have to come in and use the parking here in the building.
It's not far for you either. Yeah. You can make it over here.
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't have you on at the 6 a.m. hour, right? You
mean
later.
I have that. I told them I have that thing. I'm not able to do it.
Yeah, it's called sleep.
Yeah. All right, listen. We've got to get to Judy's News. It's coming away at 5 o'clock. Then a top five you're not going to believe, including, it turns out, one of the great racist organizers of modern American history still lives with his mother. We'll explain what happened there. Ma! Pete's.
Jeez.
It's coming your way in the top five of five. Don't miss it. Right after.
The best Bears coverage is right here.
The Bears head to the mountains and WGN Radio is there. Hey, it's Adam Hoge and I'm in Denver where the Bears are practicing against the Broncos ahead of Saturday night's game. All of live reports on air and online, plus new episodes of the Hoge and Johns podcast. You can get it all right here on 720 WGN and WGNradio.com/Bears.
Every business is different, with a different vision and different assets. Yet most banks offer the same ideas and the same one-size-fits-all solutions. At Associated Bank, we believe banks should offer different solutions for different businesses. It just makes sense. That's why we take a different approach to commercial banking, one that takes the hassle out of banking and works to find customized solutions for you, one that puts relationships and trust first. Sure, that's a little different for a bank, but at Associated Bank, we believe relationships matter and personalized service should be the norm. From capital markets experts who can help set your business on an upward trajectory to treasury management experts with a knack for finding new ways to make your money work for you, we offer a full-service experience with innovative tools for managing your most valuable assets. To learn more about how Associated Bank takes a different approach to commercial banking, visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership or tune in every Thursday morning at 5:08 to WGN's The Opening Bell for a discussion on current financial trends and topics from Associated Bank. Member FDIC.
Doors or windows sticking, uneven floors, new cracks in your drywall or exterior brickwork, bowing basement walls. Does any of this sound familiar? Many homeowners across Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana are experiencing the symptoms of structural issues. Are you aware these indicators can be signs of damage to your home's foundation? All too often, homeowners pay an expensive consultation fee just to determine the problem. Don't be one of them. Call PermaSeal today, 800-421-SEAL. Certified structural consultant will thoroughly evaluate your foundation and offer you a permanent solution at absolutely no charge. From Waukegan to Kankakee to Hammond to Valpo, PermaSeal has been committed to providing quality, proven products and a superior customer service that you deserve. When the work is done, you're going to have a transfer warranty along with priceless peace of mind. You know who to call. PermaSeal, 800-421-SEAL, 800-421-7325, or permaseal.net. All right. I need to tell you something else here. That's what I need to tell you. Thank you.
No problem.
I knew this already. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio and tune in. Townstone Financial bringing you Judy Pilex News. Coming up, I got Billy Joel tickets for you. But right now, I got some love.
Don't go changing to try and please me.
Nice. Nailed it.
Never let me down before.
And Billy Joel's going to be at the Wrigley Field. The Wrigley Field.
One of the all-time best places ever to see a concert.
Go to Cubs.com/Billy Joel to get your tickets if you want to pay for them. Stay tuned. Stay close because coming up after 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. I'll be giving them away. Giving them away. And you know, you just have to be a caller. You don't have to play a game like we made people play yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different.
They were very brave and courageous souls.
Yes.
And they were rewarded for that.
Mightily rewarded.
Mightily. Mm-hmm. Well, they both win. So.
Exactly. All right. Well, if you know what time it is.
We do.
So that means.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Well, the former CIA director, John Brennan, took to Twitter earlier today to complain about the fact that his security clearance had been revoked by the president. And it appears that it was a fairly political act. He said on Twitter, this action is part of a broader effort by Mr. Trump to suppress freedom of speech and punish critics. It should gravely worry all Americans, including intelligence professionals, about the cost of speaking out. My principles are worth far more than clearances. I will not relent. And then went on MSNBC with Nicole Wallace to say this.
I've seen this type of behavior
and actions on the part of foreign tyrants and despots and autocrats for many, many years during my CIA and national security career. I never, ever thought that I would see it here in the United States. And so I do believe that all Americans really need to take stock of what is happening right now in our government and how abnormal and how irresponsible and how dangerous these actions are. So, again, if Mr. Trump believes that this is going to lead me to just go away and be quiet, he is very badly mistaken.
So it really doesn't change too much. It just for him, right? Right. Other than he couldn't be asked to consult on projects with, you know, if something was going on and they needed to call him back in. Because right. I guess that's happened quite a bit in the past. They bring in someone who knew, had knowledge of an issue in a region or something going on.
Or an individual. He knew, they knew a leader or an intelligence leader or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they read them in on the thing and said, hey, what do we do about this? It happens fairly frequently. It happens in every Tom Clancy novel. For sure. Where they got to bring a guy back in.
I love Tom Clancy novels.
And they're like, you know, they said, oh,
one less job.
Well, pull me back in. But it's purely being done politically. And all the other people that they are reviewing security clearance of are all people who have been publicly critical of the president.
That's right.
Robert Hayden. Right.
Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. You've got a list of people who have been most vocal in speaking up against the president, particularly on issues of national security.
And here is Sarah Sanders responding to all this today.
Why is this only a list of Democrats who have been critical of the administration? And why should Americans have confidence that you are taking this seriously if there's not a single Republican on that list?
Again, certainly we would look at those if we deemed it necessary, and we'll keep you posted if that list gets updated.
You know who's
I'm gonna guess no.
Well, actually, there's a lot of Republicans on that list. John Brennan was Republican. Michael Hayden was Republican.
Well, that's a good point, Ro.
Right? Mm-hmm. Peter Strzok, I'm pretty certain, was a Republican. Did you see him in that hearing? These are not, you know, everybody wants to say, oh, they're Democrats, oh, they're this or that, because it's just about labeling. But you know, the FBI, rank and file, pretty conservative folks, law and order types. Mm-hmm. People who see that, people who want to right wrongs, people who want to make sure that people don't, that people of power don't take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that is, this isn't about, oh, it's just Democrats, they're bad, we must punish them. Michael Flynn, who has pleaded guilty to lying to investigators about his contacts with Russians during the transition period in 2015 and 2016, is still on the list of those with top security clearance. How is that possible? I like him, that's why. It's as simple as that. It you know, it's daunting. It is daunting.
It is a little.
When you hear the former head of the CIA, these guys do not, they're not running off a reservation here. You've got three security heads who are all on the same page here, who weren't always on the same page before, who are saying, pay attention to this. This is how tin horn dictators behave. And this is beneath the office of the presidency. Hello? Hello?
His security clearance could be restored for the new administration, but it's
not really
unprecedented, and it's just a bad precedent.
Right.
PR-E-C-E-D. It just seems like a personal shot more than anything.
Yeah, and you know, for the president to just act, because he thinks that this helps him, and it probably does. He has a 90. Did you see his number today?
No.
There's one poll that shows him at a 90% approval rating with Republicans.
Wow. Much higher than I would have thought.
90. I mean, what are there people now no longer calling themselves Republicans that were? Because I don't know. I know a lot of Republicans. As we like to say, some of my best friends, all of my best friends are Republicans.
and they're not giving him that approval rating?
And I don't know. That's not what I hear. I must be talking to I must have only that 10%.
Must.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
Lester Holt talked to the CEO of Twitter today. It's going to run on the NBC Nightly News coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And
he asked the CEO of Twitter why it is that his social media platform, Twitter, has not done more to take action against Alex Jones, the guy from InfoWars, who is, you know, a raving lunatic. And the where Facebook and others have taken it more seriously. Why not Twitter, Mr. Dorsey?
There's a number of actions that we believe help a call to incitement to violence. And those are the things that we need to make sure that we're taking action on.
You've taken action against him in this instance. What is it? Can you tell us what it is?
I believe we put him in a timeout, removing his ability to tweet for a time period.
Yeah, a lot of people are responding very sharply, saying they think that's not enough. A little timeout, even treating him like a child when this is someone who denies Sandy Hook occurred.
Right. The crisis actors, whole thing was made up. People are hiding.
And the actual video that got him in trouble, it was could be easily read as a call to action. He basically says, get your rifles ready to fight the media, Antifa, and he names some other groups as well. Let's bring your rifles out and let's go. 7 days.
Well, I feel, you know, any suspension, whether it be a permanent one or a temporary one, makes someone think about their actions and their behaviors. And
you think Alex Jones is going to change his behavior based on a timeout?
I don't know. We have found that it does have the potential to change impact and change behavior. So whether it works within this case to change some of those behaviors and change some of those actions, I don't know. But this is consistent with how we enforce.
Oh, boy.
In other words, didn't that sound like an NFL official there?
We're not sure this is the right call, but we're going to go ahead and say it's the way we do things.
Well, we've got to do
something
here.
According
to the rule book. This is, we've done this before, and we find that the timeout tends to be very effective,
very effective
in terms of changing their behavior. The reality is that he is going to live on the internet. This actually just gives him more attention and power, and it draws more people to him, because essentially what he gets to go to say to his followers is they're out to get me, and then he can prove it. And his followers love that. The one thing about the conspiracy theorists and just your garden variety nut burgers is they're paranoid and they feel like the whole world is out to get them. And this is the only guy that understands them. And so then when the big power structures do go after them, they're like, see, I told you.
It was interesting when we talked to Lester Holt earlier, and he was previewing, he was letting us know about his interview with Jack Dorsey of Twitter. He said that he asked him then, what about when the president called Omarosa a dog? Is that hateful, and does that cross any boundaries for you? And he said, well, we eventually got him to admit we do have special policies for world leaders.
They get to start World War III on Twitter. It'll be very good for us. people are ringing on. That's how powerful Twitter is. We can start a war. This is great. Okay. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Judy, what's coming up?
The march to end violence heads to O'Hare.
Oh, this is a mistake. This is a mistake. Everyone's going to jail on this one. That's it. There's always a moment. There's a line crossed at some point. All right, we'll get to that a little bit later on. But first, LV, a lot of what's going on. Actually, on the roadways before someone tries to shut them down.
Don't miss Chicago Tribune's first ever night market. Enjoy food, fun, and entertainment August 24th through the 26th. Learn more, visit ctfoodbowl.com/night market.
Yeah, it's a Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we're in the top five, up to
number three.
Crazy Rich Asians is a movie based on a novel by Kevin Kwan. It follows a Chinese-American professor who finds out that her boyfriend is, well, crazy rich. And hilarity ensues. Now, this was, it's interesting because the film focused, it's the first time in 25 years that there has been a film in Hollywood that features an all-Asian cast.
That's interesting.
Think about that for a second.
Right.
Not a Bollywood movie.
No.
And this is East Asian, not South Asian. And it is, it's not since the Joy Luck Club.
Mm.
Right?
I was thinking Jackie Chan, but yeah.
Yeah, it was Joy Luck Club. I mean, an American movie that was a Hollywood-made American movie. The Jackie Chan movies are made generally by the Chinese government, but the or Chinese filmmakers. But this is it's interesting because one of the actors here explains the difference between diversity and representation.
Diversity is just putting somebody there so it looks like you checked off a box. Representation is actually centering the narrative in a person of color's story so that you understand and explore what makes them different and special and why their story is important for kids who are just like them when they were kids to see and to know that they could be the heroes of their own stories.
It's got one of the actors from Off the Boat. Did you ever see that?
I never saw it.
Off the Boat was really good.
You said that.
Yeah.
It was well written.
Yeah. It was very well done. And I think, I mean, for every immigrant family, regardless of where you came from, that sort of, you know, trying to figure out your way in the American world is really something.
The problem, though, sometimes is that it goes into stereotypes. If you explore the character too much, are you just exploring them as a stereotype?
Yes.
Unless
that's the answer to that question. Thank you. That was, if you were just wondering, that would be, that is exactly what is happening.
Yes is the answer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Oh, no. Taylor Swift.
What's going on?
Went deep at her concert last night on the 1 year anniversary of her win in her sexual assault trial. Remember, she said that. Was it really? Was it a sexual assault trial? Is
well,
that what
he grabbed her. He physically touched her. So, I mean, it seems like a strong word, but it might apply.
Yeah, it was a civil groping. Trial, not a criminal trial.
Oh, that's right. Point out. It was a groping incident where she very vividly recounted what happened.
So she was at Raymond James in Tampa last night, and she started choking up when she talked about the verdict that she won from DJ David Mueller, who groped her during a 2013 meet and greet.
This day a year ago was the day that the jury sided in my favor and said that they voted me. And I guess I just think about all the people that weren't believed and the people who haven't been believed or the people who are afraid to speak up because they think they won't be believed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everyone waved their dollar bills in support because remember, she famously won a dollar. He filed suit against her because he felt he couldn't work anymore after she spoke out about it. And then she countersued, got her dollar.
Right.
But it was about more than that.
And he's still having a little trouble finding work.
Yeah, I think so.
Schumer. All right. Finally,
number one.
Well, it seems like the far right is constantly humiliating itself with marquee names in the movement, like Milo Yiannopoulos.
Oh, yeah.
The fringe right. I don't even want to call him the far right. The fringe right. Richard Spencer, who's not now allowed to step foot inside bars. That's good.
That's probably good.
Keep him away from
everybody.
The liquor, I'd say. And then there was last weekend's civil rights rally, and white civil rights rally, as it was being called, Unite the Right. And there was this joker, Jason Kessler. And Jason Kessler is a guy who was trying to organize this. He got 23 other people to show up with him.
Yeah.
But he's been all over the place over the last year, talking about after Charlottesville, where he was a prominent figure in that whole movement and aftermath.
Jeez.
He, he started to feel like he was getting a little bit of traction. And then it didn't quite work out for him on Sunday in Washington. Well, speaking of not working out, it turns out that Mr. Kessler still lives at home with his parents.
Oh, gee.
And his dad walked in on him doing a
Nazi live stream.
Right, a live stream with fellow Nazis around the country. And, it's sort of like, this is like when your dad catches you doing something else, like on your computer
really
or something.
Yeah, this is really bad.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, come on!
You walk in the room.
Does anybody knock around
right
here?
Yeah, what's going on? Come on, can you lock your door?
Is Jewish. The breaking houses are in Israel.
Hey, you get out of my room.
Hey, sorry, I'm having an issue here.
Oh, you got a drunk roommate there?
Something like that.
Pushing me like that in my room.
I've got somebody who supports Orthodox. We're at a crosshairs on that stuff. I don't agree with...
I want this to stop in my room, Jason. This is my room.
Get out Dad. Of my house! Dad! I'm trying to foment hate over here! Oh, come on!
Very
Get
awkward.
Out of my room, Dad!
I like when he says something like that.
I'm trying to organize Nazis!
I know. You have roommates? Something like that.
Oh, gosh.
We don't see eye to eye on everything.
Do you have roommates? Yeah. Dad, you're embarrassing me in front of the other Nazis!
Can't do that.
And then he just goes off. He's like, this is my house.
Does Dad know what he's broadcasting down? I mean,
yeah.
I would imagine he does.
Yeah, I think he does, okay. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't want anything to do with it anymore. Ma! Where are the white sheets? I don't want the sheets in the flower pattern because the clan doesn't like it. They laugh at me.
Oh, gee. There's too much material there.
Oh, my God.
Where it's do just... all the tiki torches keep going, honey?
Right. Dad, you got to drive me to Home Depot. I need 200 tiki torches.
Oh, dear.
All right. Yeah, well, if you don't laugh,
yeah, I
you
know.
Cry.
It's right.
I mean, you can't take these people seriously, but we can't ignore them either. Because then that's exactly, you know. All right. All right. You know what? Let me do this.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Remember Meghan Markle's dad?
Yeah, I remember him.
Didn't make it to the royal wedding, that high drama whole thing. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just been announced that by his daughter. Different one, half sister of Meghan, that he is launching a new menswear line.
He's not
his own clothing
to
line.
Do that.
Do we remember that he was very well dressed
no.
in any way or had a style anyone else would want to emulate?
Kind of remember him wearing sweatpants with socks and sandals.
And just being repulsive.
In fact, the whole reason he said he gave that interview is because he was trying to redo his image. He had been misportrayed as being like this slothful guy who couldn't
mustard
dress.
Stains on his shirt.
Yes.
Kind of looked a little like those guys that sometimes you see wearing a beret and riding around on a scooter. You know, like a rascal.
Yeah.
Kind of had that sort of look.
A scooter with like a flagpole.
Yeah, and a basket in front, and then he's wearing sweatpants, and then showing up. Is he a chef or is he just a slob? What is he? I don't know what he is.
Yeah, he definitely owns Crocs.
Yeah, he's a big Crocs guy.
Maybe he's got his own line of Crocs.
Well, those are going out of business soon, I think.
What do you mean they're going out of business?
The company's not making new ones anymore.
Do you know that to be a fact? When you do roll into things like that, Violetta, you must realize that there are laws.
She's actually right on that.
She might be right on that.
All right, just checking.
They're
just
closing.
Wanting to make sure.
It made news last week that they're closing their last factory.
Okay, good.
I guess you guys must have missed that.
They had a good run.
Yeah, all right, good. As long I did miss that, I just want to make sure, because you sounded a little uncertain about that.
Sometimes I can't tell if I'm dreaming when I read this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they may be.
Okay. Yeah.
They may be suing us, too.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Anyway, he
might have an opening now. He can get his own brand of Crocs or something because he's, the daughter went out on social media and said, so excited about my dad's new clothing line for men.
Not the princess.
No.
Duchess or whatever she is.
The half-sister, Samantha Markle, 53.
Who's also a loudmouth piece of work right there.
Is she the one?
She's the one that's been complaining about, that Meghan thinks she's so hot now that she's a princess.
She kind of is.
Yeah, she kind of is. Sorry, but that's the case.
And I think she's always probably been hotter than her.
And she's like, she doesn't call us anymore. She probably didn't call you in the first place either.
She moved to Canada to film Suits.
Yeah, that was it. You probably weren't nice to her, and she probably doesn't care anyway.
Remember when the dad was being one of the fake pictures that later turned out to be fake, that he was getting fitted for a suit for the wedding? Remember that was that? He was doing like research on the royals, and he's seen online investigating the royal family and its history.
So is this clothing line going to be like that Tom Brady ripoff, like $200 pajamas and whatnot?
What are you talking about? Tom Brady
something
is a legit clothing
right,
line.
Right, right. Okay, is it going to be one of those
blanket
legit
that helps
lines?
You, your abs get a little bit firmer.
Firmer. Unless the blanket weighs 80 pounds, there's no way that your abs are going to get firmer. Unless they're, and then he's got like copper or something wired into something that makes your chakra is being realigned while you're sleeping. Did you see that? But now, what I don't understand is that, Meghan Markle's dad, I would say a classically handsome man. But Meghan Markle's mom is her biological mom, not the mom of the other girls that are mad at Meghan for being too pretty. This is like the evil stepsisters, it's like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty, and so then you stop and you think, oh well, now how did that happen, right? Well, there was a story that came out today actually about this. That there's a study that shows that guys who are punching well above their weight or mm-hmm. Doing better with women than and you sit around and you go, well, how did he get her?
They're with a very attractive
game
partner.
Mm-hmm. Turns out that it is insistence that makes that work. The study says that it's by being persistent mm-hmm. in their attempt to woo.
That's like us with Joe Donlin, being persistent.
You guys are
to
doing a great job at persistence.
Hey, Joe, over here, Joe.
Yeah, it's not really working for us.
Well, keep going at it, guys.
Now, how does that work? I, as a guy, don't understand that. Because I always read like persistence as creepiness. At least that's what I was told.
Well, I think it could also, if it's done well, it could make you feel as if you're the center of their world and that you would, they're thinking about you and, doing things to be mindful of what you might want, if you're doing it the right way.
And I think typically pretty girls don't get hit on that much anyway. So if someone is persistent, it's probably very
shooter's
nice.
Shooter's got to shoot. Got to go for it.
But
shooter's got to shoot.
You learn so much on this program. Phrases I'll never use, but nice to know they're out there.
Well, pretty girls. Let's go back and reevaluate that statement for just a moment. We could just take a moment here to step back. Pretty girls don't get hit on as much.
No, because they are more difficult to get, so guys don't even try.
The guys are intimidated. They just say, "Forget it."
Yeah,
this is true. Huh. I had a friend who was a model, like growing. She's still beautiful. And we used to always say that, too, about her. Like, guys don't even ask her out because I think they were intimidated.
Hmm.
Because they think they don't stand a chance. But then the guy that does, he's like, I'm gonna keep asking.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And then generally the model turns him down anyway, but at least they try.
Is it persistent? But the persistence...
Like a calculated persistence. You can't come off texting.
You don't
want to
come off creepy. You don't
knocking
come
on
off,
the door in the middle of the night.
And you kind of wear the person down, because I think girls like to say no and feel like a prize.
Some girls. Hold on.
I'm not even sure what that sentence was. Some girls like to say no.
Well, you can't just say yes right away.
You like to say no a couple times before you say
yes. You like to be difficult.
Yes. You want to play hard to get. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, hard to get, not difficult.
Yeah. Okay, play hard to get.
It's easier said than done, though, at the end of the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for your book to come out. I really can't.
It's like, okay, ask me one more time. I changed my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, no, I am not interested in you. Where are we going to dinner?
Exactly.
Is that your car? Maybe I am interested.
How much money do you have?
Yes, I could eat. Oh, look at your watch. Yes, I'm very interested.
Wait, what time is it? I didn't see that.
You were very persistent.
Oh, gee. Okay, stop asking.
Hey, are you waiting for this cab? I'll go out to dinner with you, yes! All right. Well, I don't know. I find that interesting. I find that differential. Because sometimes you see it and you're like, okay, what's going on? That guy must be rich or he must be... there must be something, that we're not seeing there.
Right.
Or maybe she's just really open-hearted or
astigmatic or something? I don't know. Whatever it is.
I think it's probably, maybe, Judy, you know this about your friend, but you know, if you have beautiful friends you go out with, it, it's like they always, they complain that they can't attract quality. They get a ton of quantity and a lot of attention, but
that's like me when I go out there. It's like, ladies, 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 come on. Enough already. Relax.
But from like...
Wow, Kevin.
They're throwing themselves at you. Yeah, it's hard to deal with when you're a guy
is
like
that. All since you have a house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now I got my own place.
They're lining up at the front door.
Just recently, I've acquired my own manse.
What did you call him? A man on the make, Rome?
He's a man on the make.
I love that.
Yeah, he's a man on the make.
I have my own basement now.
Yeah, yep, I get my own, right? Don't worry about it.
You don't even have to go to the basement.
Mom's like four blocks away.
She'll bring us sandwiches later.
Just in case.
Grilled cheese or PB&J.
So that, but it is interesting. And now, and so that, and this Mr. Markle.
This guy,
you know,
is a piece of work.
He's quite a pro.
He didn't even go to her first wedding, by the way. It has been revealed. So this, he didn't go to the second one, but he did all that stuff. He took that money from that tabloid. Now he's got his clothing line. Apparently, he's coming out. A few details, but he's making money off his honey.
I guess.
I mean, is that it? I mean, if it even gets off the ground.
Yeah, good for Tom Markle.
Ah.
All right.
I don't think we should blame Meghan, though, for her baggage.
No.
You can't pick your father.
No, you cannot. So that's, I am team princess here.
Yes.
Duchess.
Whatever.
To you, sir.
She's a princess.
Duchess.
She's officially a duchess.
She's always going to be a princess to me. Which sounds like a Billy Joel song, which we're giving away Billy Joel tickets coming up after the top of the hour. Did you see what I did there? That was one of the most amazing radio pivots in the history of promotion, my friends. Right now, let's check in with Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Do you have memorabilia that might be worth something? Call into the Steve Cochran Show for Swap Meet tomorrow at 8:40 in the morning.
Yeah, I got a few things.
Yeah, what do you got?
I got a picture of myself from 1996.
That's a good picture. I know that one. You're talking about the leather jacket?
Yep.
Is it signed?
Yep. I can sign it for you. Don't worry about it. No big deal.
You got an oil painting of yourself in this office here. See if that's worth something.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got them. I got them all. I'm ready to go. Like the leather.
It is a great
Every radio DJ had to get a picture of himself in a black leather jacket.
That's
I don't know.
So true.
I don't
know. Either that or the straight jacket in that time.
Right, there was a straight jacket. Or there was also the satin jacket, too, you know, with the call letters on the back. And I only had one of those. So that didn't really work out well.
But you did have a
one is enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it have the little waistband that kind of gathered? Like a little
yeah at the bottom right.
Like maybe a different color, maybe.
Right, it was a different color, and it kind of just went around and cinched there to give me the bomber effect. It makes you a real man. All right, Judy Pyleik is standing by. She's got WGN News. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn, AppleChevy.com. Bringing you the news. It's 6 o'clock. Keep listening. A chance to win a pair of tickets. Billy Joel Wrigley Field, September 7th. 5 consecutive years, shall I say, Billy Joel. Piano Man, Wrigley Field. Cubs.com for your tickets / Billy Joel.
I wasn't feeling that one. You're well, seems a little tired.
I could understand that one, which is probably better. Because sometimes when he talks, he's giving you information. You don't know what
to understand. You don't sound drunk enough.
I was going to say, it sounds like his buzz is wearing off.
Just a little hungover, that's all. I'll be drunk in 20 minutes, so don't you worry about it, little lady.
Thank you.
Want to take a picture?
No.
Oh, gee. We learned from Taylor Swift.
You guys big on taking pictures. Everybody. Just walking down the street, he takes pictures with everybody.
Would you like an autographed copy of my 8x10?
No, but keep trying. Persistence is key.
Is he wearing the satin jacket in it? Because that might be interesting. Might be fun to look at.
Satin jacket and a beard. Mm-hmm. And then those glasses, like from the 80s, that are gigantic, like square, frameless glass. You know, that's the kind of look. And then a really forced, awkward smile. And there you go. Yeah. That is your 1980s DJ.
That was the look.
All right, Pat Brady doesn't have to put up with this. No. He's here.
He's very important.
And he is very important. He used to run the Republican Party in the state of Illinois. You also used to be a member of the Justice Department. He was a U.S. Mm-hmm. attorney. Assistant U.S. Attorney in the United States of America, in our country, the United States of America. All right, so now, Pat, I got so many questions for you. I don't even know where to begin, but let's start with Manafort, since let's put on your legal hat here for a second. The jury has been instructed. They're going to get, I guess they start deliberating tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah.
They've been sent home for the night. Now, I don't know. Do we know if they're going to be sequestered here during deliberations? Did we figure that out? Because that's the only other, you know, go to the hotel room, have dinner, and, you know, you can deliberate.
I don't think they are. I think they're sending them home, but, okay. Yeah.
So, do you get a sense here? Because there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of people panicking on the left side of the aisle about, well, I don't know if they really got their case, and if they don't get their case, what happens with Mueller? You don't agree with that.
No, if you've read I read some of the transcripts of the prosecution's closing arguments in the rebuttal, and the way the prosecutor laid it out methodically, and he made the best point, which I think was freaking the left out because Gates was a terrible witness. He goes, this case is not about witnesses, it's about documents. And I used to do these kind of cases.
Mm-hmm.
The case is about documents, and the documents and the emails with Manafort's own statements in them, financial transactions all laid out. It's really kind of boring to put it on. But the most important part of the trial is the opening statement for the prosecution and the closing, and I think they were pretty successful. And in conventional wisdom on the defense, not putting anybody up means they think they didn't meet their burden, or in this case, maybe they just have no case.
Yeah.
And they are.
What are you going to do? Because it's a paper case. They can't disprove the paper.
And when the defense attorney came out yesterday and said the government's clearly not met its burden, that to me was like a dog whistle for, man, we're going to get killed.
or they're hoping, but they're hoping that they've got one. But all they need is one, right?
Right, but when in these document cases that went quickly, this is not like a 15-week trial. It's, 9 or 12 days right. or whatever. It's pretty solid, and the jury instructions lay it out. The only thing that would worry me from watching this as a former prosecutor was the judge's treatment of the prosecutors, and I think the jury can take a cue from that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes maybe not good for the prosecutor.
Yeah.
But he had to apologize, though. The judge apologized for doing that, so does that mitigate it?
Yeah, and they're going to... I've always believed that the jurors actually listen to the jury instructions, and they will follow the
law. And really quickly, I want to play this game right now because the jury gets it tomorrow morning. If they come back tomorrow, that's bad for Manafort.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah.
If they wait over the weekend, it's good for Manafort.
Yeah, the longer they wait in these kind of cases, the better it is for him. But again, they'll get the jury instructions. They'll go through it. So they'll pick a foreman. It takes a couple hours. They'll go through it. They'll probably take a vote right away to see where everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll discuss each of the counts. It's 18 counts. So it's not
that's
like...
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's going to be at least a day's worth of work.
I did a big 18 counter once, and they were out 4 hours.
Oh.
In a similar white collar case. But
did you have great witnesses? Because does that at
I
all?
I thought we had a great prosecutor, Anna, mm-hmm. but no.
That's a given. An absolute given.
We don't agree with you.
Because in this case, I think that's
Monica
what.
Monica just wasn't available.
That's what the defense is saying, is that the star witness, you might say it's the documents, but the jury might also believe that it's this guy, Gates, who is a lying, cheating, stealing.
Well, it's the Enron
so-and-so.
Defense. Ken Lay blamed it on everybody else. When you're at that point in the defense, you have problems. It happened, but it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Never works.
Right.
Trump's never going to be
president. Were you
president.
On Ken Lay?
No, no. Oh. Guy, Sean Berkowitz from here was, though.
Oh.
But that was one of the defenses.
Yeah.
If you admit that the crime actually happened and then try to blame it on somebody else, then you don't testify and there's a bunch of emails with your bunch of lies in there, you got problems.
Well, yeah. And that's exactly what happened here because the defense is, ladies and gentlemen, jury, please. I mean, if we were at 26th Street, it would sound something a little like this, which is, he had no control over his own finances. He had an accountant. Everybody knows, you probably got a brother-in-law's accountant. Yeah. Who needs that? You got troubles.
Well,
it does not work.
In the prosecution, and there's watching the or reading the transcript, these arguments are not new arguments.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecution says you have to look at the big picture, look at all the transactions, and then the defense will try to piecemeal it off and say this doesn't all fit. And that's pretty much what they
do. All right, so you'd say that Paul Manafort has got a problem here. But he's going to stand trial in a couple more weeks or months or whatever it's going to be here. I think October.
But this is a question, and other former prosecutors may disagree. What value is he as a witness at this point? If he actually is convicted and it's like, okay, I'm looking at 30 years, I want to cooperate, he's already been convicted. It's not like he's cutting the deal here and he's cooperating.
Well, he's going to sit around and wait for a pardon, right? Isn't that what you would do if you were him?
That's about his only hope. I mean, the dollar amount of the money laundering, it's $75 million that he laundered through. I mean, he's looking at 30 years minimum, I think. He's 69 years old.
Part of what the defense said today, too, was that this should have been handled by the IRS in an audit, and instead of this high-profile, elaborate, you know, trial kind of thing. They're trying to indicate, and they also mentioned in that this is because his links to Trump and the administration that he's even here. And then the judge later told the jury you have to ignore that as well, because this isn't supposed to be about that. It's supposed to be about this financial crime.
Yeah, ironically, they tried to limit that out during the trial, but then the closing used it, and the judge told him no.
Yeah.
And this, listening to that, I saw it or read it, weak argument.
Yeah.
It's the IRS should have done an audit that there were tax, money laundering, bank fraud, all these other things that related to these weird foreign entities and lies. And the thing that's interesting now, it's a little different than when I was doing it. You have these emails.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, you had a shoebox with little notes in it.
You could burn it quickly.
This is an interesting moment, though. But let me answer your question. What good is he if he's looking at 30 years and he can mitigate that by saying that he was in the room when all they need him to do is to testify to one thing, to one event, essentially, which is he was in the room at some point, or he knew, or he was being pressured by the Russians to do something, and he took it to Donald Trump, and they agreed to do it. Now, that may never have happened, so maybe he can't testify to it.
It would have to be an awfully big thing to reduce a guy's sentence from 30 years to 5 or whatever. I mean, at this point, you can see what the defense would do if he were the key witness, Manafort. And this guy is about as bad as you could be on what he's been convicted of.
Right, because that's what they did to Gates.
Yeah, and Gates is more about just blinding.
But don't you always have, I think the legal term of art is scumbags. Don't you always have, troubled souls and individuals?
Sure. But ladies and gentlemen, we don't choose our witnesses. These are the facts, and the facts are corroborated by the documents in a document case. And that's why he said in his open or close that this is a document case, it's not a witness case. But he spent 2 hours straightening out the Gates problem.
Pat Brady, do you think that the special counsel does believe that he has some goods, or by the way he's treated this whole thing, arresting him the way he did, the whole way he's handled Manafort? Do you think that they're zeroing in on him, knowing that he knows something?
Well, this case is old.
That he went after him.
But at this point, do you think that Mueller would know if they have something on Mueller and on Manafort?
Mueller's been very good about being tight-lipped about it, but that's always been my belief. I don't think Manafort knows anything. Hmm. If you're looking at 30 in a case that's pretty airtight, would be cooperating.
You'd be having striking a plea deal at this point?
Yeah, I would think.
But Manafort's a moron. You can see by his own behavior here. I mean, he has always been...
He's in. The difference is he's not out in the street eating steaks. He's in. And usually they find redemption.
find God pretty fast.
Like it here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens here. On conviction.
Now, wait a minute. If this is a not guilty, man.
What happens then?
Bad for Team Mueller. Really bad.
Why is that? This is separated out.
Yeah, it is, but I think they're going to spin it as this is when the witch hunt actually, because you don't lose federal trials that often, and the judge was critical of them early on. I could see if this goes bad, this is a really good day for Trump.
Do they still go to the D.C. case, do you think, against Manafort?
I'm not sure.
Because it's a little closer to relevant in terms of the Russia thing.
Yeah, but this one now is a superseding indictment that actually didn't really take it closer to the time frame. Did the bank frauds occurred when he was
right? They're trying to set up he ran out of dough,
exactly,
and he needed the money, and he knew the Russians had money, and he knew the Russians were going to help him if he could get the Russians access. That's the argument that they're trying to set up an environment like that.
Exactly.
And the question is, did all of that happen? And did the Trumps know about it? And you know what my theory on this is now? After all is said and done, my theory on this is that they could have guessed that that kind of thing was going on. They didn't want to know. I think Trump's sharp enough to know what he doesn't want to know in a moment like that. I don't think the kids are experienced in that. And where this all will come down is how did either Don Jr. or Eric or Jared or somebody trip over their own shoelaces and stop, do something that they say or do something they probably shouldn't have done. I mean, let's face it. You do have Donald Trump Jr. on an email going, I love this, right? Talking about the dirt on Hillary from the Russians.
To me, though, doctoring up that document on the airplane is indicative of some bad behavior. It may not be the president. It may just be, hey, Dad, I did this. I need to clean this up.
Right.
Oh, come on, it's
stupid. Right. And that is interesting. That's true.
But I still think for any of this to be politically impactful, it's got to be something big and substantive.
All right. You used to run the Republican Party. I want to ask you a question on the other side here about what has happened to the Republican Party and what's happened to the Democratic Party, which is also non-existent. But the Republican Party, last night, a friend of yours, who I met through you, actually, Tim Pawlenty, used to be the governor of Minnesota. He left. He was no longer governor of Minnesota, and they want to come back and run again. And there was a less qualified candidate, but had Trump's endorsement, who mopped the floor with him. The Republican Party is now Trump's party, is the argument that could be made from that. Does Pat Brady agree? We'll find out on the other side. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A new poll shows Governor Rauner trailing his Democratic challenger.
Violetta?
Plan your home improvement and DIY projects Sunday mornings on WGN-TV. Watch House Smarts with Lou Manfredini, 10:30, followed by Weekend Workbench at 11.
All right. I just want to say this, that Pat Brady, one of our favorites, is with us right now. And Pat used to run the Illinois Republican Party. What has happened to the Republican Party in terms of the era of Trump after the primaries last night, especially in Minnesota, which is kind of it's an interesting state because you never know what you're going to get. You know, they've elected, they had Al Franken come out of there. You've had
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, you've had like super conservatives. You've had super liberals. It's a little confused up there. But now Tim Pawlenty, who was, he was one of your just add water Republicans. You just poured him into a glass and you poured the water and you stirred it up and you had a Republican, right? He just looked like a 1980s, 90s, 2000s Republican. And now you've got him trying to come back into, statewide office. Goes up against a guy that's not qualified, but Trump liked him. And the guy that Trump likes cleans his clock.
Yeah, I think even with Governor Pawlenty, I consider a friend and one of the finest public servants, actually one of the smartest guys I've ever seen, I think he was more than just a add water Republican. He was a true Sam's Club Republican when he ran for president, meaning that we can be the Republican Party and still appeal to union work. He was a union member and people that Trump actually ended up getting with a different approach.
Right.
And so I think he would have been, had we followed that path, either one, if he would have been vice president and or if he would have won the nomination.
So I want to go back to this moment because I do think that Tim Pawlenty plays a very important asterisk moment in American history. In 2008, when John McCain was going to the convention in St. Paul, Minnesota, where the Republicans were going to, anoint him as the candidate. And you know how they always do that, where they're choosing who the vice president's going to be in that week of a run-up going into it. Tim Pawlenty seemed like the odds-on favorite to be John McCain's running mate.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow, some way, and the story is legend now, they decided to go with Sarah Palin. And there were a lot of people in the old line Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party that were like, what are we doing? You're giving in to the populists.
Well, the thing is, and we all live this, she gave a phenomenal acceptance speech, and people didn't quite know who she was, including the McCain campaign. And McCain was here Labor Day weekend in 2008, and we were up 5 for 2 weeks. The McCain campaign held the lead, so I agree she ended up being not where I think the party should be. But at the time, they just hadn't vetted her.
Yeah, that was the problem.
We didn't know her.
Was a firebrand, and she wasn't that, with all due lack of respect, she wasn't that bright, right? And I know that's not necessarily, out of the range of
Remember, they didn't let her speak until she got tripped up by Katie Couric, which is hard to get to have happen.
But she did, and it was one of those things where it should have been a little bit more. I don't know that there was a way of beating Barack Obama in 2008. That seemed to be sort of you know, there was a ton of momentum going into that.
Well, and then you go 2 weeks after Labor Day, then you have the crash.
Right.
And then McCain made a couple missteps on talking about the economy, and then Sarah Palin didn't.
She didn't help. Economy. She did not.
She
help.
Knew what the function of the Fed Reserve was.
Right.
And this is it. The country's ready to explode, and she says, I don't remember the guy. Remember the guy on CNN said a heartbeat away from the presidency?
And the reality is that whole movement of sort of talk show presidency, where it's really it's broad line nationalist nativist policies with an edge, like a kind of a bully edge to it, and that's
she went
had.
That way. McCain went the other way,
right? Yeah. But the point is that's what she represented, and those people who loved that felt totally disenfranchised. Many of them headed toward the Tea Party, right. And then many of those headed toward Donald Trump because he was the exact same guy. So
it was her and Michelle Bachmann.
But
remember that tour?
Oh
yeah,
Michelle Bachmann was confused that the Navy had airplanes. What were they? Why do they need airplanes? I just want to understand. Where it's almost like the genie got out of the box for Republicans here.
Yeah, and I agree with what you just laid out. And there are Republicans. I'm more a Tim Pawlenty Republican, thinking we can appeal to people through more aspirational messages than the path that Sarah Palin chose or the president has chosen. But the reality is, the party is now controlled by Trump. He's had a pretty good last 8 elections. And last night, with Tim Pawlenty losing by double digits, a guy that was a kingmaker in Minnesota, that's an alarming.
But does it send a message to Republicans running in the midterms that they should align themselves more closely with Donald Trump, even though it becomes extremely awkward to do so on a lot of days?
But look at what might happen in Minnesota. Pawlenty probably could have won that race. This guy that beat him is not going to win. The same thing in Kansas. Trump's guy won, and the more establishment nominee was up 10. This guy's down 1. So we have a similar fight here in Illinois with people that want to put the litmus test conservatives on in a state that's elected
pretty
president. Barack Obama's right from here. So you got to be the reality. I guess back to the party question. This is always what I believe as chairman. I believe when I was on the committee. The function of the party is to get your people elected. And if you don't get your people elected, you can't legislate or change policy. Mm-hmm. And by getting people nominated in the primaries that aren't going to win, that's counterproductive.
Well, people thought that about Donald Trump, and he did get elected. And are Republicans not concerned? Good, honest folks who understand what the role of America has been in the 20th century and 21st century, and they don't harbor a lot of anxiety or angst or anger toward minorities, or they may not like a slide toward economic socialism, but they're not based on it. That's most of the Republicans that I know kind of fit this, fit that category. The fact that open lying about things, that total misrepresentation, turning on the media, getting the army to boo the media on an army base on a fort in the United States of America this week, how is that not alarming?
It is alarming. He's a child. And what he did to John McCain yesterday is another childish, petty act. But let's put it in a political context. A lot of people like the policies. You could walk around. I could walk around Michigan Avenue right now and ask people, I don't like the president for the same reasons you just said, but I like the tax break. I like some of the tough talk. Like some of the things he does, they like. And so I think that's where we are. I don't like it either, and I think the long-term damage to the brand of the Republican Party, particularly a state like Illinois, is going to be tough to repair.
You better throw your Harley Davidson in the lake.
Drive it right in.
Sorry. Thank you, Pat.
Always a pleasure.
Happy,
thanks,
happy rainy Wednesday afternoon as sunset and a rainstorm moves in. I feel like I depressed him.
Is it going to snow?
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to snow. Oh my God. It starts to snow now. Now you're
depressed yourself.
That's at least a month away.
All right. Judy is standing by. She's got the WGN news coming your way in 2 minutes.
Right now, caller number 19. Here you are on 298-1-7200. Wins a pair of tickets to see Billy Joel at Wrigley Field September 7th. Billy Joel's fifth consecutive year playing Wrigley. And the last 4 years have been sellouts. Still a few tickets left if you want to buy them. Cubs.com/Billy Joel. Right now it's 79 at O'Hare on 720 WGN. Harry Truman, Doris Day,
Nailed it. You worked for it at the end there.
Yeah, obviously he's been hitting the bottle.
You can tell, can't you? You really can. He hits the bottle and then hits
Happier,
the post.
And yeah, he's...
Yeah, it took some time, though.
He does have that one talent.
It takes some time. You know, I'm doing that without a countdown clock, people.
I was wondering.
Oh, really?
You know,
I was wondering that, too.
This is the first time I've been in the studio with you when you've done that, or the radio guy's done that.
Yeah,
I was
wondering. Cheesy radio.
Yeah, he just left, but I was
he
looking for
he does that
some
without
sort of,
a countdown clock.
Yeah, that's impressive.
What do you mean? You're listening to, like, the beats of the song, and you know...
Yes, and I just don't remember which...
What?
Does it by stanza. Feeling good.
That's almost more impressive than you being a talk show host.
I don't have a countdown clock in here.
You live for the post.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's right.
It's pretty good.
As I was just saying, Anna, you know, we have so many accomplished people around us, you know, that do things. Like Pat Brady is one of them. You know, he's done all these amazing things. And then I'm saying, excuse me, everybody, I have to give away concert tickets right now.
Quiet
I got to hit the post.
Quiet.
I have a very important thing I have to do. All right. Adam Hoge joins us right now. He's got a very important thing. Even what he does is far more impressive than what we do, because he is actually standing out there in the practice with the Bears in Denver, where everybody's stoned. Right. I mean, this is like, I like when they call it a joint practice because it plays on two levels.
Yeah. Very true.
All right. So Rokan shows up. We're all happy about this. Bears are happy about this. He seems like, you know, I got to say, this is tough because his agents were the ones really holding the line here because they wanted to get this for their future clients more than him, because they want to make sure that the guaranteed money isn't affected by you know, either new rules that come into the NFL that could cost this guy's career. But off the field stuff, which you kind of lose the NFL fan on that, but he seems like a nice kid, and he's charming enough to be able to kind of bring, you know, all of that, put everything behind him. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, I think once we get going here and the games are played and he's looking like the good linebacker, I think he's going to be, most people are going to forget about this holdout. However, you know, talking to him the last 2 days now since he signed his contract, I think all he did was basically confirm that, yes, he was a pawn in this whole thing. His agency, you know, they wanted to gain some ground with rookie contracts, which are basically slotted and you can't do much with them. And they maybe accomplished that at least a little bit. So I still don't know that it was worth as long of a holdout as it was. Now he's got to play catch up. I think he's going to be a good player. I think it's all going to be okay in the long run.
If they beat the Packers, then I think we'll all be okay. Roquan can deliver that.
Oh, my God. Yes. If they beat the Packers,
way Bears fans are, if they win this preseason game on Saturday, everybody will forget about
like,
it.
Like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, we're fine.
Love
Roquan's
the Bears.
Here. Let's rock and roll.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling about the Packers.
Okay.
I have a feeling about that game.
Mm.
That is... You know, when a coach comes in, I remember this from, you know, decades and decades and decades. Ditka used to say this. And Ditka's not a guy who's very romantic about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed?
We have. Yes.
I mean, we as the fans, we want to be romantic about the idea of, you know, these great rivalries and mean stuff. He wasn't very romantic about those things. But he did talk about Green Bay and why Green Bay is so important. And Lovie Smith, when he joined the team, talked about, you know, the last two coaches to take. There are three coaches that have taken the Bears to championship games,
mm-hmm.
right? And and Lovie was like, I got to beat Green Bay. I got to beat him at least once in my rookie year,
mm-hmm.
right?
He was on his goal list.
And he did. And I think that Matt Nagy's got the same charge right now.
Yeah, I mean, really, since Brett Favre became the quarterback back in 94, I think, the only success the Bears have had at all against Green Bay is the first 4 or 5 years under Lovie Smith, because he really made that a significant emphasis. And they did. And ultimately, the problem that Lovie had towards the end was that he couldn't beat Green Bay, and that's right. when they made the coaching change. And then ever since, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, it's been a struggle. I not that we need to talk Packers here, but I'm kind of with you, Ro. I'm not a huge fan of what the Packers did this offseason. I think they dipped into an area that the Bears have made mistakes in the past, which is trying to sign free agents to put band-aids over open wounds. And now they still have, to me, the most talented quarterback in football, not the best ever, the most talented.
Yeah, I agree with you.
and that's always going to make it tough to win. But I think the Bears can go in there and win, and that can actually start to spiral the Packers and get them going in the other direction.
Well, speaking of the Packers, Adam, the Bears and Packers, I don't know if I necessarily want to classify it as rumors, but it's at least on the landscape of the football world. Khalil Mack, the All-Pro, the Defensive Player of the Year from 2016 with the Oakland Raiders, the edge rusher, he's a holdout in Oakland's camp right now, and there's talk maybe they could be shopping him around the league. It would make a lot of sense for the Bears, who have minimal depth on the edge other than Leonard Floyd. And the Packers have the luxury of having two first-round picks next year that they could potentially trade. But what are the chances you think Khalil Mack ends up in the NFC North, whether it's with the Bears or the Packers?
Yeah, I guess I'd say there's a much greater chance that he would end up in Green Bay than Chicago. To me, any deal for Khalil Mack starts with two first-round picks, and I just don't see Ryan Pace parting with those. He values them too much, and I think he believes, while they all hope Leonard Floyd becomes the Bears' pass-rushing superstar, that they have enough young talent on the other side to at least complement. Certainly nothing like Khalil Mack, but to give up first-round picks like that,
you wouldn't want to risk giving up a player like Kevin White in the first round, right? I mean, it's like, come on, Khalil Mack would essentially be like adding a first-round pick. Do you think they'll aggressively go after Mack, I guess, is my question?
No, I just don't see it. It doesn't seem like their MO. Then you still got to sign him. You got to figure out how to sign him after that. It's going to cost a lot of money. And you know what? First of all, let's just back up. I don't see the Raiders trading him. I think this is a lot of smoke, and I don't really think it's going to happen. Mainly because
Can I point something out here? If the Raiders want to get rid of a guy,
mm-hmm.
I'd be worried about who they're getting rid of. Right? I mean, they might see something, and this is, you got to remember, there's something to prove here with this Raiders organization, because Chucky needs to make a splash here. Right? I mean, this is his return to football. This is a big deal. They're about to, you know, they got one season left, and then they're on their way to Las Vegas. This is a big, big moment in that franchise's history. And I just, you know, I don't see this. And if they're going to give up a guy that is as talented as he is, then I think that there's something
probably
else going
a stretch
on there.
They're going to pop
yeah.
off him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I just don't see it happening.
You know, that means there's something so desperately wrong that it could be a problem. All right, let's talk about. Okay, so now for Saturday night against Denver, are we going to see Trubisky for more than 10 plays? I hope not, but.
Yes.
Rob wants him in bubble wrap the rest of the preseason. Yes. He doesn't want to see him on the field.
Yeah, especially when you got Von Miller and Bradley Chubb lining up for the Broncos on Saturday night.
I don't worry about those guys. I'll be honest. I never worry about veterans, and especially Von Miller.
Chubb's the rookie trying to make his name on the scene.
But Von Miller, you know, who I think is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But a guy like that, I don't worry about, because I don't think he wants to hurt him. Guys who have to make. I worry about those guys, especially this week, that are on the depth chart, that everybody's wearing the number 98. You're not sure what their names are, and they want to make a name for themselves.
Watch this. Do you remember the fourth preseason game last year when the quarterbacks kept getting hurt, like the guys, the Bears were, you know, going to cut the next day, and so Trubisky had to go back into the game in the fourth quarter, and like John Fox lost his mind and actually had him throwing passes, which would have been nice during the regular season, but didn't happen. and then you have these guys out there that are like, they know it's their last football game ever.
Right.
They don't care. They're just going to go hit a guy.
I'm the guy that ruined Mitchell Trubisky's career.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Charles Martin lived on that for a long time. Charles Martin, speaking of Green Bay, the Green Bay lineman, who it basically broke Jim McMahon.
Body slammed him.
Yeah.
That was the end of that era for Jim McMahon. And then Jim McMahon ended up being a Green Bay Packer, which I just never understood.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but I'm going to tell you right now.
Sad.
I say this now on the 15th of August. The Ides of August.
Are you going Bears week one win?
I'm saying take the points. And as a matter of fact, throw out the points. Take the money out. Go! Bears win week one!
Yay. Okay. I'm on
board. I love it.
How's Denver, Adam? Are you guys getting edibles and stuff that the kids do these days? Or is smoke a cloud of smoke leaking from the hotel rooms of the Bears beat reporters?
You know, guys, you call him Mitchell or Mitchell.
There's your answer right there. All right. Adam Hogue, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Bears
Adam.
Insider, appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, bye. Let's check in with Domati and see what's coming up in the top of the hour news.
Ro, I've got the latest on the two planes that collided on the ground at O'Hare.
All right, here is Violetta with the traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.